afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you on this Texas Independence Day. That's right. It is the 2nd of March, 2026. That's Texas Independence Day, commemorating the day in 1836 that the Texans declared eternal hostility over the tyranny of Santa Anna. And I feel like we're due another one. I feel like it's time for another Declaration of Independence. You could say the second Declaration of Independence of America from control of a foreign power. It is, of course, day three of the great debacle, the grand debacle of our time, the Iran War, the stupidest thing America has ever done. And we're going to get into it. I got too much information to get into. We're going to be joined by Brandon Weichert in the second hour. He's an expert on this stuff. We're going to continue to break it down with him. I've just got so many videos and stories, and it's just completely insane. So we'll try to cover the latest here up front. Brandon Weichert joins us in the second hour for some strategic breakdown, and then the third hour I will be taking your calls and discussing this with you. Let's get into it like we do every day with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Monday, the 2nd of March, 2026. Trump launches war with Iran for Israel, says U.S. service members may die. That's the headline from Chris Minahan at Information Liberation. I think he gets it all included right there. Trump launches war with Iran for Israel, says U.S. service members may die. And he's made more statements since then, but that's how the operation got kicked off on Friday evening. As we predicted, of course, it's not that hard to figure out. It just is that insane that we literally launched what could well become, I mean, it already is World War III essentially, but you know, it could become like the apocalyptic battle that ends the world on a Friday evening, because we wanted to really minimize the effects of the stock market, which I think is a stupid way to make decisions when you're talking about war. Three U.S. F-15s involved in friendly fire incident in Kuwait, apparently. We have some questions about whether this is legitimate or whether they're trying to cover up for the fact that Iran may have capabilities we were not prepared for. But according to the official report, at 11:03 p.m., March 1st, three U.S. F-15E Strike Eagles flying in support of Operation Epic Fury went down over Kuwait due to an apparent friendly fire incident during active combat. That included attacks from Iranian aircraft, ballistic missiles, and drones. U.S. Air Force fighter jets were mistakenly shot down by Kuwaiti air defenses. Prince Reza Pahlavi says he wants to lead Iran in a transition to democracy. Now, I included this story in here not because it's going to happen or is particularly important. Rather, the opposite. Rather, this represents the absurdity of what the hell are we talking about right now. Reza Pahlavi is going to lead Iran in a transition to democracy. That I am more likely to do that. I am more likely to lead Iran than Reza Pahlavi. So that just shows you how absurd this whole thing is. From AP News, war in Mideast widens as Trump says Iran strikes could go on for weeks. He's saying 4 weeks. I think it'd be. I'll give you the breakdown. But this headline, I think, is the headline of the day right here. From War Monitor, the Tel Aviv Stock Exchange closes its strongest day since the corona pandemic nearly 6 years ago. That's a hell of a headline right there. The Tel Aviv Stock Exchange, and the American Stock Exchange is down because war and rumors of war usually means disruption in services. It usually means customers not getting what they ordered directly on time. Oil, of course, is going to be a big issue. That's going to cause delays and corresponding drop in stock markets. Somehow the Tel Aviv Stock Exchange had its strongest day in 6 years since the outbreak of the corona pandemic, which I think says a lot. To me, that sounds like it says a lot. You got people around the world thinking this is a disaster, but Tel Aviv's making money out of it. They think it's going to be a great windfall of profits. We'll get into everything that's happened here on the other side. Support us at theoddshowstore.com.
We're engaged in world-changing information here. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at theolivestonestore.com. And we have a massive sale. Alert, alert, alert. I'm saying this live on air Thursday, February 26th. And that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies and our high-quality Shilajit. You get either or. You choose absolutely free with our creatine. The Alex Jones Store.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Annihilate.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live at this Monday evening. It's been 3 days since Israel launched an attack on Iran, followed swiftly by America joining in. And it's become massive. It has become an absolutely massive conflagration, like of course it would. Like everybody knew that it would. And I don't even know what to say at this point. I mean, obviously, this is like the stupidest thing Trump has ever done. Israel is getting just blasted relentlessly. They don't seem to be too worried about it. I can show you lots of videos of Iranian missiles doing massive damage. Iran seems to have the upper hand, as far as I can tell at this point, considering the fact that the American bombing raids are bombing allegedly police stations. Certainly they bombed a child school. They're basically carpet bombing Tehran right now and just bombing lots of civilian areas, whereas Iran seems to be taking a strategic tack, going after first all of the radar bases in order to blind American and Israeli defenses. And they're able to achieve this with a total inequality of cost, where they're using dirt cheap drones to force us to waste our very precious and in low supply and extremely expensive interceptor missiles. They have not released their biggest missiles. They have launched missiles that Israeli defenses were not prepared for. I mean, already in the last 3 days, we've seen deployment of some crazy technology. Iranian hypersonic missiles seemingly changing directions 90 degrees in a single instant. Cluster munitions that Iran is using, where you have a sort of a swarm of smaller projectiles in order to distract and, you know, waste the ammo of the interceptors while the main payload gets delivered outright. There's also just been video after video of like very slow moving, about minivan sized Iranian drones, one of which seemingly took out a $1.5 billion radar array by smashing into it. And now Trump says he will not rule out sending U.S. troops into Iran if necessary. So as of yet, and at this moment, allegedly, according to all official reports, we have not put boots on the ground in Iran. But what is the plan here? What exactly is our goal in all of this? That has not been laid out. That has not even really been discussed. Anytime it has been, it's completely incoherent and contradictory. It is like shocking that we're even in this situation right now. And I'm really having a hard time figuring out exactly who's screwing who over and who's lying to who. Obviously, we had massive success in decapitating much of the Iranian regime, killed Khamenei, killed apparently 49 of his underlings. But Iran was prepared for that, and they have a decentralized node cluster, you know, cellular independent strategy that allows their commanders to make battlefield decisions totally outside of the chain of command. There's 90 million people, or more in Iran. It's like 10 times more than live in Iraq. What exactly is the goal here? What exactly is the ultimate, like, when will we have victory? When will Donald Trump go and give a speech on an aircraft carrier with the mission accomplished banner? What does that look like exactly? How did we get here? And what do we do now? These are the questions that we need answered. And in fact, Tucker Carlson just came out with a pretty long report about this. I want to play like the first 5 minutes or so because he lays out what we all know, which is this is a war for Israel and it's for their benefit. And really the only question is, how did they get Trump to go along with this? Because he, from my interpretation, again, there's a lot of conflicting information. It's hard to take anything at face value. Trump is saying, you know, this is fine. We're actually ahead of schedule. We plan on this taking 4 weeks. It looks like, you know, things are going better than expected. I see, you know, Israel putting out reports saying there's only a dozen missile launchers left in Iran. And it's just like, I don't believe any of that. Just from my bird's eye view interpretation, it seems to me, from everything I've heard, it seems to me that somebody convinced Trump that this would be Venezuela 2.0. That at this point, right, afternoon on Monday, he'd be giving the speech of, yes, we did it again, folks. We did it again. We decapitated the evil regime and they folded completely and wanted to negotiate with us. That obviously didn't happen and it was never going to happen. But of course, people that tried to tell Trump that were fired or smeared in the press. Let's go to this Tucker Carlson video. Did you guys bring it in? It was the latest one that I put in, Tucker's response to Israel's war. Let's go to that.
So whenever something big happens, particularly something really big, like a war that will change world history, the first four questions you have to ask are these. One, why did this happen? Two, what was the point of it? Three, where does it go from here? And four, how do we respond? So let's assess the war in Iran, now ongoing in its second day, and try to answer those four questions. First, why did this happen? Now, in this case, there's a really simple answer. This happened because Israel wanted it to happen. This is Israel's war. This is not the United States' war. This war is not being waged on behalf of American national security objectives to make the United States safer or richer. This war is not actually even about weapons of mass destruction, nukes, chem bio. No, this war is waged purely because Israel wanted it to be waged. Now, why say that out loud this early in the conflict? Isn't that dispiriting for, say, American troops fighting this war? Yes, it is. And we thought a lot about whether it was wise or decent even to say something like that out loud, and have decided that it is for the following reason. First, because the truth is always the only basis for wise decision making. When you lie to yourself or you lie to your people, you not only commit, well, a kind of moral crime by lying, but you also tend to hurt yourself. Hubris is the product of lies, for example. You can get way over your skis if you're not honest with yourself and the people around you about what's happening and why it's happening. But long term, that is also true. In other words, it's important to say why this war is happening because 50 years from now, people may not know. Your grandkids may learn that this war started because the Ayatollah showed up in Miami and started machine gunning people in a shopping mall. And so we responded. There was a kind of Iranian Pearl Harbor. You don't know what the future will believe about the present. You don't know how history will be written. And if you're skeptical of that, if you're asking yourself, well, how could historians, popular historians, how could future culture so misunderstand something so big? How could people lie about something so obvious, so giant? Well, history is your guide. A lot of the big events we think we understand, including wars from the past and not so distant past, are completely distorted in our memories. In other words, that's not actually what happened at all. And the truth is, if enough people lie about something at a high enough volume, and they do it for long enough, loudly enough, while threatening anyone who refuses to lie about it, over time, their lies become conventional wisdom. Everyone believes them. there is something about repeating a lie over and over and over again that's almost like a spell or an incantation. It's almost a form of witchcraft.
Yeah, of course, he's exactly right. I mean, this is just a classic idiom of propaganda. You repeat the same thing, you keep it simple, and this is why sloganeering works. This is why they use it so much. They repeat the same thing over and over and over. It's especially useful if the slogan itself is sort of self-contained, self-evident, because then you don't have to, you know, provide any further information, right? You don't have to prove your claim. It just exists. Like, Iran wants to kill us. And it's like, they want to kill us. They hate America. They chant death to America. Like, that's it. That's the... But I think he's sort of missing a part, because it's interesting what's happening here. Typically, they put forward some sort of lie in order to go to war. Most people fall for it because the mainstream media is in on it and provides the argumentation and provides the fake back and forth where the fake two sides are, you know, established as if, you know, well, I agree, but, and then you have to decide which way you agree. And so that works, even though there's people like us out here going, there are no weapons of mass destruction. They don't exist. It's a lie. It just doesn't filter up to the wider public, and so that is believed. The war begins. By the time the war is over, that narrative has been entrenched, and it's really not going to change anytime soon. Even if now you go around and ask, I think a majority of people in America would recognize that we were sold the Iraq war on false pretenses. It kind of doesn't matter anymore. The history books say there were weapons of mass destruction, or at least there was a mistaken belief of weapons of mass destruction. So the difference about what's happening now is they're not even giving us that excuse. They're skipping the middle part. They're kind of vaguely coming up with reasons that we could potentially want to go to war with Iran. None of them are really true. None of them really stick. They're sort of A-B testing them. None of them land. So they just went, okay, never mind. We're just going to do it then. The reason? Pick one. Doesn't matter. We just want to do it. We just want to do it because, you know, Israel wants freedom of action in the Middle East, and it's, you know, good for them if America is weakened in the process. And we've been over all this over and over. We know the real reasons why it's happening. But the stated reason from the powers that be that are actually carrying out the war, they're just not giving it to us this time. Now, you might think that this is a mistake. You might think that this is some sort of, you know, oversight that means that they're not doing their job well. No, I think they realize that they don't actually need to convince us. I think they just went, hey, we're going to try to convince you. And if you don't buy it, we're just going to do it anyway. And 50 years from now, we're going to write the books. We're going to produce the documentaries. It's going to be our mainstream coverage that goes into the archives. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They have decided that it doesn't matter that whether or not we're into it, whether they can sell it to us. They are just playing the long game, and they're going, yeah, everybody's mad right now, but they're not going to do anything about it. We're going to wage this war. We're going to kill a whole swath of them. At the end of it, we're going to write the history book. So we'll just backfill whatever happened. Doesn't matter. He says, you know, the Ayatollah was, you know, shooting machine guns in Miami. Like, it could be something as ridiculous as that. But they haven't even tried to give us a real reason, which is like a little bit terrifying. And then when they do try to give us a reason, it is so utterly incoherent and nonsensical and just contradictory and backwards. And it's crazy what we're witnessing here. And in a way, I almost feel bad for the, I mean, not really, because they're supporting a senseless war of aggression that is just suicidal on a national level. But people like Ana Paulina Luna, she's going out there to champion the Trump administration, and she's got absolutely nothing. She's got nothing to go on. She's got no arguments to make. She's just going out and humiliating herself, and it's very embarrassing. Let's go to clip 18 here. Things got heated between Representative Luna and a news host over U.S. actions in Iran. And again, it's like, this is so pathetic. This is so pathetic that we can't even get our messaging right, let alone actual legitimate justification for war. Here's Ana Paulina Luna trying to say this isn't even a war. What? Let's watch.
Did we not just invade? We are not invading. Are you seeing boots on the ground there? Because I'm not. And I've been told directly by the State Department and the White House that that's not the intention. I didn't say boots on the ground. Intention.
I mean, we just killed the leader of the country.
That's not...
Okay.
Targeted strategic military strikes and invasions are two totally different things, according to military
terminology. They're calling it a war. The president has called it a war.
And targeted airstrikes.
Strategic strikes. Yeah. And according to the White House, and I just talked to them and talked to the Secretary of State, strategic strikes are not war.
Really? So if someone bombed America,
do you see boots on the ground?
That makes no sense. You're saying it has to be boots on the ground according to your own definition. So that's your standard.
Iran has killed thousands of Americans and murdered them. So by definition, they've already declared war in the United States.
I've had TI missiles raining down on me too. I know how terrible the Iranian regime is. We are not debating that they are a truly terrible regime. What we're talking about is the standard for the commander-in-chief to commit our sons and daughters in the military to war and going to war when it is in the national interest and making that case to America and going to Congress and getting approval for war. So you are saying this is a limited mission that is only bomb strikes, so there is no congressional authorization necessary. How is this different from when Joe Biden bombed the Houthi rebels in Yemen without congressional authorization and you oppose that?
Well, it's different because we're bombing Iran and starting the third world war in the Middle East. It's way worse than anything Joe Biden ever did. So again, what is she talking? If this isn't a war, I mean, yeah, okay, there are not boots on the ground yet, but we're saying that there are going to be. We're sending soldiers to the Middle East. The assumption that they're going to be used in Iran. And like, even if we don't put boots on the ground in Iran, is it any better to have some sort of weird Syria-style, like ISIS, Kurdish, Turkish takeover where we just shatter Iran into a bunch of infighting groups? Like, this is just retarded. This is all retarded. And again, Ana Paulina Luna is out there saying things that she just has no way of backing up whatsoever. And this, to me, is the strangest thing, where it's like, it's one thing if you just don't have an answer. It's another thing if you have an answer that's a lie. But to have an answer that is self-evidently a lie, that does it, like, makes less sense than just saying you don't have a reason. You'll see what I mean. Let's go to clip 29 here. This is Ana Paulina Luna, and she just made the statement there in the video you just saw. Iran has killed thousands of Americans. It's just like, what are you talking about? What does that mean? Who are you talking about? Who was killed? When were they killed? Why are you just saying this stuff? This is what I mean. If you're just saying, well, you know, whatever, because we can, we're going into Iran, we're going to destroy it because we don't like them. It's like, all right, that's not a good reason, but I don't exactly have proof against it. I can't argue with you. Okay, yeah, we want to go in there and destroy them. Okay, fine, I guess. I disagree, but well, what am I going to say? But in this case, they're making claims as if they're justified. Well, they've killed thousands of people. And then it's the simple question, like, what and when? And we have nothing. It's like worse than just not having a reason to do it. The reason is just a blatant and ridiculous and embarrassing lie. Let's watch.
Can you just tell me really quickly, where have they killed thousands of Americans in America?
I didn't say they killed thousands of Americans in America. I said that they have been responsible for thousands of Americans being killed. And I think that that's easily something that you can verify. I don't know, state-sponsored terrorism for starters. Are you serious right now about that whole thing? I'm not going to list out exact locations.
Are you talking about the Iraq war?
You can start up by the three that they just killed. Okay, the whole point of your network, if you want to actually talk about the facts here, I'm giving you the facts. But I'm not going to sit here and argue with you about something that's commonly accepted and known.
It seems like you actually don't have a good understanding of the facts, Congresswoman. You don't have a good understanding of the conflict.
Well, I'm the one that's getting the briefings, not you. You're a pundit offering your opinion because you want clickbait, but aren't actually interested in the substance.
No, not at all.
We can talk about the fact that Obama sent millions upon millions of dollars to the Iranian regime. Or do you not want to address that because it's not supported by your opinion and your network?
No, not at all.
Is this really even something that we're going to actually get to?
It seems like you just want to filibuster. It seems like you don't really want to have a good faith conversation.
Or you just don't like what I'm saying.
We would have invited
this
you on the air.
This happens every time I'm on with you.
Yeah, you keep coming on every time, and you keep stating a lot of things that are incorrect. The United States launched a war against Iran right now. Iran retaliated, in which American members. you can call it whatever you want to call it, but at the end of the day, the Iranians responded and killed three American service members. So what we're trying to get at is you make an assertion on this air that it's not an invasion when America sends fighter jets and Israel sends fighter jets into another country.
Boots on the ground are not going to happen. Congress will not vote on war with Iran because that is not something that we support, and that is not something that the administration
supports.
That's
actually what the Constitution,
but if you
the
want
Constitution
to talk about
says that
what,
in Article 1, but I guess you think Article 2 is more
well,
important.
Article
so it's up
2
to you.
Is when the U.S. citizens and our military are in direct imminent threat, the president reserves the authority.
Yeah, well, he hasn't made that case to the American public or Congress,
exactly
and that's the problem, and that's why he's supposed to go to Congress.
Well, he's not going to give you classified intelligence
information. He's not supposed to give it to me. He's supposed to give it to members of Congress. He's supposed to go give it to members of Congress. That's exactly why members of Congress. You're only one. There are 435 members and 100 senators, and others have not gotten it. You're not the only one who gets to speak on behalf of the American people.
Prior to the strike.
Anyway, unfortunately, we're out of time, but really appreciate you coming on.
There you go. You don't want to hear the facts. They got a briefing.
It's not a fact. I'm telling you what other members of Congress have said, and that's the whole point of them being able to have a debate in Congress.
Congress was notified.
That's not what members of Congress say, but really appreciate you coming on here and saying something different. Congresswoman Ana Paulina Luna. Really appreciate it. Thanks for coming on.
So again, I mean, you're honestly just like embarrassing. I don't know. Well, who are these thousands of Americans that Iranians have killed? Proxy army? Like, it's just these vagaries. They don't mean anything, but they're having to resort to this stuff because there is no real reason. There's no real reason. They don't pose a threat to us whatsoever. And again, when they try to, you know, justify this, it just makes even less sense than otherwise. Let's go to clip number 34 here. This is Ted Cruz talking about whether or not they're going to, you know, we don't have time to get to that one quite yet. Let's go to clip 35 here. This is Donald Trump in the middle of his speech about the Iran war. Just going totally off the rails. Let's watch.
See that nice drape? When that comes down right now, you see a very, very deep hole. But in about a year and a half from now, you're going to see a very, very beautiful building. And there's your entrance to it right there. In fact, it looks so nice, I think I'll save money on the doors because it can't get more beautiful than that. I picked those drapes in my first term. I always like gold, but I think we can save a lot of money. I just saved curtains. But it'll be spectacular. It'll be the most beautiful ballroom. I believe it's because I built many a ballroom. I believe it's going to be the most beautiful ballroom anywhere in the world. And when you hear all that hammering out there, you know why the First Lady is not thrilled exactly. She said, will the pile drivers ever stop? You know, they go from 6 in the morning till 11:30 in the evening. Can you imagine? Here? You know what? To me, that's a beautiful sound. She doesn't like it. I love it. You know what? To me, other than here, because we're donating it, not a penny to the taxpayer. It'll be under budget, ahead of schedule. It'll be $400 million or less. Most people say $400 million or more. No, it'll be less. But when I hear that sound, that beautiful sound behind me, it means money, so I like it. But my wife isn't thrilled. She said, this is getting crazy. I said, don't worry about it. We'll be all finished up in a few months. But now for the reason that we're gathered this morning to recognize the...
Recognize the what? Sorry, wait, you get to that last part. Sorry, are we not here to talk about the ballroom? Are we not here to talk about the ballroom? Sorry, we're here to talk about the fact you just started World War III, there's dead Americans and gonna be more? Then why would you spend 2 minutes on the ballroom? What was that about? Talks for 2 minutes about the ballroom. It's like, anyway, so I bombed Iran on Friday and I have no way out and this might bring our country down. Have I told you about the curtains?
Alert, alert, alert! We're engaged in world-changing information here. The worldwide satanic pedophile networks, the poison shots, the depopulation, the classified CIA documents about poisoning the food and water and medicines to make us dumb and more docile and controllable and to make us sick and die. Operation Artichoke fully declassified this week. Total vindication of this broadcast. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified, best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at TheAlexJonesStore.com. And we have a massive sale, and that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies. Each gummy is equivalent to like 40 grams or something of Irish Sea Moss. It's so good for you. A bunch of other super nutrients. And our high-quality Shilas. You get either or. You choose absolutely free. That's a $35 value. Absolutely free with our creatine. There's also store-wide 25% off all apparel. That ends midnight Wednesday, March 4th. But let me just overhead shot show TV viewers a couple of things right here. KU Medical Center. Creatine shows potential to boost cognition in Alzheimer's patients. Just type in creatine Alzheimer's. Creatine and cognition and aging, a systematic review of evidence in older adults, a major study. HHS Public Access. Effects of creatine supplementation on cognitive function of healthy individuals, a systematic review of randomized controlled trials. And it's not just good for your brain, it's good for your heart, your muscles, everything. Everybody always thinks of it for muscles. But it's every organ, folks, and you got to get the right kind of creatine. We have the best. Here's BBC telling the truth. The bodybuilding supplement that boosts brain power. I mean, my God, I was taking creatine in high school. I could bench press 350 pounds, weighed 180 pounds, squatting 600. My strength just exploded once I got on creatine. But what's it do for your brain? Want bigger gains in your brain? Six facts about creatine and brain health. Get your creatine already discounted. Get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss and or Shilajit until Monday, March 2nd at midnight. And it funds the operation. Take action now at TheAlexShowStore.com. Plus, 25% off all apparel, t-shirts, hats, and hoodies. Ends midnight, Wednesday, March 4th. Take advantage of that. We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, I want the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. I want just Americana stuff. Christian, crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus. Classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. I gave the concept. Great guys over there and gals. All up in Arkansas, where Bigley's based. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. It's got a cool deal on the right-hand shoulder. And there's just, it's over 700 shirts now. That's the only problem, is that you find a shirt, you get it, you like it, you want to buy another one. Takes me like, if you don't remember the name of the shirt, it takes you like an hour to find it. But that's a good problem to have.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I just got so much to cover. I'm just going to dive into it. I think Matt Walsh takes the cake today for the best tweet of the weekend, as far as I'm concerned, laying out the absurdity of the attack on Iran that America/Israel is waging. From Matt Walsh, so far we've heard that although we killed the whole Iranian regime, this was not a regime change war. And although we obliterated their nuclear program, we had to do this because of their nuclear program. Wait. And although we obliterated their, in June, we obliterated their nuclear program. But then we had to attack this time because of, you know, their nuclear program. And although Iran was not planning any attacks on the U.S., they also might have been, depending on who you ask. And although we are not fighting this war to free the Iranian people, they are now free, or might be, depending on who seizes power. And we have no idea who that will be. The messaging on this thing is, to put it mildly, confused. It's a bit confused. It's about the nuclear sites, although we destroyed those, but not really. But they might want to rearm them. But we were working towards an agreement. But they didn't want to make an agreement. But we were in discussions. But then we bombed those discussions. The whole thing is ridiculous. And it doesn't get any less ridiculous when you hear the people actually putting this on and calling for it and encouraging it and celebrating it explain it either. Let's go to clip 34 here. This is Ted Cruz. Again, just basically saying, oh, yeah, all that stuff about the nuclear weapon, that was never real. Let's watch.
Can you tell us now if you believe that there was an ongoing nuclear weapons program? One of the top arms control experts out there, David Albright, has written there should be an immediate priority on rapid response operations to secure Iran's nuclear stockpiles right now. Can you assure the public that it will be secured? And if so, who is doing it if there are no Israeli or U.S. forces on the ground?
So there is no doubt that a year ago, Iran had an active and ongoing nuclear weapons program. We took out the vast majority of that at the end of the 12-day war.
Where that U.S. intelligence assessment was not made public, if that is what was briefed to you.
We launched targeted bombs at the end of the 12-day war, where we dropped the equivalent of about a third of a nuclear weapon on those underground facilities, facilities like Fordo, which is built into the base of a mountain. The bunker buster bombs we used, Israel doesn't have those bombs. No other country has those bombs. We took them out last year. The Iranians were still hell-bent on rebuilding them. And one of the things we are doing right now is taking out their missiles, in particular, the southern missile belt. Right now, Iran is building roughly 100 missiles a month. They're actively building missiles to threaten their neighbors.
And they're firing some of them right now at their neighbors,
yeah,
at our allies.
They're illustrating powerfully. They're attacking virtually every Arab neighbor that surrounds them. They are firing missiles that it's almost like they want to illustrate to the world just how malign they are.
But in terms of containing the risk, who's securing the nuclear material that you say still exists within Iran? Who's doing that?
Look, the quantity of nuclear material, I didn't say anything one way or another on that. What I said is they were building nuclear weapons a year ago and our bombing took that out. They also had an ongoing desire to rebuild them. I don't have present-day intelligence on what progress they had made towards rebuilding nuclear weapons since we bombed their facilities. I have no indication that they were anywhere close to getting nuclear weapons because our bombing was devastating. And Margaret, that's one of the reasons I urged President Trump, now is the time. You know, dictatorships survive because they're perceived as invulnerable. Yeah. And in this instance, Iran decisively lost the 12-day war that weakened the regime and set up what the president is doing now.
Ridiculous. It's that type of, again, sloganeering where it's just like dictatorships survive when they appear to be untouchable. And it's just like, is this a fairy tale? Do you think, like, what are you talking about? That is straight up fairy tale stuff where it's like, well, as long as we make the king bleed, then they'll learn that he's immortal or that he's mortal. And then they'll all give up and come over to our side. It's like, no, that's not how this happens at all. Even a little bit. And everything I've seen has been, well, let's go to clip 10 and 11. These are gigantic pro-government rallies breaking out in Iran all over the place. Let's go to clip in 10 and 11 as B-roll here. So these are the pro-government Iranians gathering in solidarity with their government as they're getting bombed to smithereens. They know who the bad guys are. So what's happening exactly? Well, you've killed 49 of the leaders of Iran. They don't seem to be going anywhere. In fact, they only seem to be upgrading and advancing their attack, just like they said they would, because we report on this forever. So again, there's Ted Cruz just like, yeah, they don't have any ability to have nuclear weapons, but that's not really what it was about. But it was kind of what it was about. It's what we told them it was about in order to get them into the talks. But then we actually said it was about their ballistic missile and their drone program, which they're never going to get rid of for obvious reason, because it's succeeding wildly. So in the first 48 hours of the war, Iran launched roughly 1,200 projectiles at targets in five countries. Most of them were drones. Tehran's strategy revolves around depleting costly American interceptor reserves by forcing the United States and its allies to use multi-million dollar air defense missiles against drones that only cost a few tens of thousands of dollars each. And again, it's working. It's succeeding. They are wasting our interceptor missiles, which we're already drastically low on. There were reports on this in business news in December of last year. we've not had time to restore our interceptor missiles whatsoever. Now they're deploying the laser beam thing, so that doesn't require as much ammo. But this is a war of attrition, and Iran has the upper hand in like a million different ways. So far, and I could show you compilations an hour long of major radar arrays in on American bases being destroyed. The base in Bahrain, the 5th Navy base, basically totally destroyed. Entire American bases destroyed in Iraq. Just massive damage to Tel Aviv and, you know, all over Israel, all over, I mean, the Gulf countries. And like, yeah, Iran is attacking their neighbors, but they're also attacking American personnel in hotels waging war against them under the protection of the neighbors. And the way the Gulf countries are responding is a little bit schizophrenic. First, they come out and are like, you know, we don't like being attacked. This is ridiculous. They're pissed in America, saying, hey, America had all of this missile defense, but it removed it from us to give to Israel to make sure Israel is protected. Meanwhile, we're getting hit. Since then, they've reversed. Now they're like, actually, we're mad at Iran and we're going to join the war against them. The whole thing is, again, just kind of absurd. And the question is, how much longer could this possibly go on like this? I mean, let's go to clip 17 here. You know, why not? This is just one thing that was released recently by Iran, and we can play this as B-roll. So everything you've seen so far, all of the damage I just described, all of the damage that you've been seeing on X and elsewhere, that was 1,200 missiles, okay? Iran probably has literally 100 times that at the very least, right? 1,200 missiles? 1,200 drones and missiles, okay? That's, again, literally nothing. They have tens, if not hundreds of thousands of these missiles. I don't know how long they could keep going, possibly indefinitely, considering the fact that they are producing these things at a pretty rapid rate and have been for a couple years and have gotten really good at it. So again, this whole thing is just absolutely ridiculous. Let's go to, should we just look at some more of their confused nonsense here? Let's go to clip 37 here. This is Pete Hegseth crashing out about American men and women being sent to Iran. Let's watch.
People also want to know what they're sending their men and women to war for. Is there a concern of this spiraling into a longer war and then one for the chairman when you're done?
Did you not hear my remarks? I mean, we're ensuring the mission gets accomplished, but we are very clear-eyed, as the president has been, unlike other presidents, about the foolish policies of the past that recklessly pulled us in to things that were not tethered to actual clear objectives. So we know we have plans, we have generals, we have chairmen, we have commanders, CENTCOM commanders, Admiral Cooper.
So what is the goal here? What is the goal? You're going to get all uppity and condescending about old presidents that didn't have a clear goal. What is our goal here? Iran, the mission on Iran, as far as I can tell, has less of a goal than anything we've done recently. And to act offended that this question would be asked when you're the one sending American sons to die, it's just absurd. He's doing the best he can. Let's go to clip number 14 here. Secretary of War Pete Hegseth asked about Israel having a nuclear weapon, since this is all about Iran not being a rogue nuclear state, apparently, or at least it was at one point. Let's watch.
Iran has an ability to project power against us and our allies in ways that we can't tolerate. So whether that's ballistic missiles and drones, so offensive capabilities, effectively their navy, which would attempt to set other terms and impose different costs, drone capabilities, which we laid out there. And ultimately, though, this tying it back to Midnight Hammer, the president has been willing to make a deal. You can't have a nuclear bomb. Radical Islamists can't have a nuclear bomb that they wield against the world. He gave them every single opportunity. Then we precisely took it away. And even then, after that, they didn't have that. They didn't come to the table with a willingness to give it away. So ultimately, those nuclear ambitions, which never ceased, are something that had to be addressed as well. So that's a discrete sense of what's being addressed here to ensure that they can't use that conventional umbrella to continue a pursuit of nuclear ambitions.
Again, just completely absurd and contradicted by the American account of, you know, how this went down. Axios has a pretty thorough timeline of all of this. It's called 2 months, two tracks, how Trump chose war with Iran. I guess we'll just start from the top here. The joint U.S.-Israeli operation that killed Khamenei was the culmination of 2 months in which President Trump issued both diplomacy and war, pursued both diplomacy and war on parallel tracks. On Friday, he chose war. The crisis, which began with the public uprising in Iran in late December, was vintage Trump full of twists, last-minute reversals, and deliberate disinformation. Of course, to say that this started in December is just absolute and complete nonsense. I mean, it started 40 years ago. It really started in, you know, 1948, and then it accelerated in the 50s with the overthrow, and then the 70s with the coup, and then obviously the Gaza war leading up to the first Operation Midnight Hammer last year. I mean, to be like, this all started in December 3 months ago. The first thing that happened was 3 months ago in December. Okay, fine. The seeds of Saturday's operation are were planted in late December when Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu visited Trump in Mar-a-Lago. Anti-regime protests had just begun in Iran, and it wasn't yet clear how significant they would become. Again, I mean, I don't know why Axios is covering up for this, but the protests in Iran were about the economic conditions that were imposed on Iran, specifically by Scott Bessent, Trump's Treasury Secretary, who said his whole point of becoming Treasury Secretary was to inflict economic war on Iran to force their hand in negotiations by making their people miserable. Okay, so you sort of missed, you sort of left out that part about what inspired the riots and the uprising in Iran. On top of the fact that you had massage agents arming those people and trying to create massacres and coordinating this with Starlink terminals that was all discovered. So to rewrite what we just read, this all expanded in late December when the joint American-Israeli psychological operation slash economic sanction warfare against Iran forced them to the point of desperation where their people were rising up, obviously, again, being organized, coordinated, and armed by Mossad operatives and CIA to bring down the Iran regime from the inside, but that didn't work, so then they moved on. The regime cracked down with full force, killing thousands. Help is on its way, Trump wrote on Truth Social. But see, we've sort of given that up, haven't we? It's not really about the Iranians, is it? We're not trying to bring them you know, democracy, are we? Exactly. So that was all a lie. Okay, great. That was all a lie. That's wonderful. On January 14th, Trump was on the verge of ordering strikes, but pulled back. Instead, he ordered a massive military buildup in the Middle East and began secretly planning a joint operation with Israel. Over the following weeks, the Mossad director visited D.C. twice, followed by the Israeli military intelligence chief and IDF chief of staff, all coordinating what would become Operation Epic Fury and Roaring Lion. The other track, at the same time, this is so funny, it's like you pursued it at two tracks. No, one track was the war track, which is what they were dead set on and going to do. The diplomacy track wasn't a real track. That was a trick. It wasn't a track, it was a trick. There was no diplomacy track. There never was a diplomacy track. Nothing that Iran ever did would ever result in a diplomatic victory for America and Israel. We didn't want that. You can tell that's the case because every time Iran did try to come to the table, we changed the terms to something that was just obviously unacceptable to them, and then we blame them on talks collapsing. Or Israel straight up just, like, killed the negotiators. Trump's envoys, Jared Kushner and Steve Witkoff, were skeptical about the chance of getting a deal, but three U.S. and Israeli officials stressed that initially nuclear talks in Geneva were not a complete ruse. A complete ruse is what it says. The space missing. It wasn't a complete ruse. It's like 99% of a ruse, yeah. But like if they'd come out and been like, hey, we surrender, you can have all of our nuclear weapons and take us over, then yeah, we would have accepted that, right? It's like, no, yeah, the diplomacy was fake. It was all fake because we're just Israelis now. Like America has just become Israel, and we apparently just have no compunction about just flagrantly lying constantly all the time everywhere and then admitting it as if it's clever, as if we pulled something off. It's wild. They faced a specific challenge, keeping Khamenei from suspecting anything and retreating to his underground bunker. I skipped a bit. So Trump wanted to try to reach an agreement, and the Iranians were told explicitly that military strikes would occur if we did not see real progress on a real deal very quickly. A week before the Geneva meeting, the U.S. and Israel agreed on a potential window for launching the attack the coming Saturday when Khamenei held a routine meeting with his top aides at his government compound. But they faced a specific challenge, keeping Khamenei from suspecting anything and retreating to an underground bunker. Okay, so do you understand what they're saying? So they're like, okay, a week ago, they're like, we're going to kill Khamenei and launch attacks, but we have to maintain the ruse that we're actually in discussions and that there's a diplomatic solution that's possible in order to, you know, keep them in a false sense of security to, you know, maximize the efficacy of our disgusting betrayal sneak attack. So clever. They're so clever, aren't they? When Kushner and Witkoff traveled to Geneva on Thursday, they already suspected there was no deal to be had. They already suspected, like they don't know. You know, they were sent in going, yeah, keep tow them on, right? Keep them on the line. Keep the hook on the line, the fish on the hook. And not paying attention, not noticing that we're actually secretly planning to kill all of them just as soon as they let their guard down. That's what they were doing the whole time because they're evil. I think it's because we're ruled by very, very, very evil people. Again, it's like, it's not even about this instance. It's about what they're willing to spend to get what they want, right? They just really want to get Iran. And so if they have to waste American lives, American prestige, entire military bases in the Middle East, they're perfectly willing to spend that. They're also perfectly willing to spend just like America's potential into the future, America's reputation overseas, ability to make deals. Like, who would want to ever make a deal with us anymore? They are screwing us over indefinitely, forever, perpetually by just using us for the time being to get to achieve their ultimate and short-term goals. They do not care about America in the slightest. So I just want to make that clear. And again, why Trump's going along with this, I'll leave that for you to decide. One of the rules of deal making is you have to know very quickly if there's a deal or not, a U.S. official said in the room. The Iranians hadn't come close to the most flexible U.S. position. After the first session, Kushner and Witkoff called Vice President Vance on the secure line and told him the gaps were still wide. A second round that evening changed nothing. Kushner and Witkoff saw that the Iranian proposal was BS and only meant to buy time. A U.S. official said there wasn't any there to work with. But again, that you just told us that that's what you were doing. Like, what are you talking about? Like that agreement that Iran brought, that was just to, you know, delay. You know, that's what you just admitted that a week before you'd already decided to kill him and that week of negotiation was all play acting to keep them in a false sense of security. So what are you talking about that's what Iran was doing? I don't think that is what Iran was doing. I think what Iran was doing was really giving you as much as they possibly could. Because at the end of the day, they knew that you were going to attack anyway, and they didn't want to give you the excuse of, oh, they're being intractable and they're not wavering at all. No, they were willing to make a deal. They were negotiating a settlement. They were open to pretty incredible, you know, incursions into their sovereignty to deal with, you know, the threat of nuclear weapons. You just attacked them anyway. Just total betrayal. So again, I mean, that's what this whole article lays out. And it goes over and over and over. Because again, it couldn't be more obvious. So officials said Iran had been secretly stockpiling enriched materials at the Tehran research reactor under the guise of medical research. Never once did they use any of the fissionable material to even make a single medicine. The official said it was all designed to deceive. This account is based largely on statements by U.S. and allied officials in the aftermath of the strikes and could not immediately be verified by independent sources. After Geneva, Oman's foreign minister flew urgently to Washington to meet with Vance on Friday in a last-ditch attempt to delay Trump's decision, but the president had already made up his mind, and when an Arab official asked Witkoff on Friday whether an attack was imminent, the White House envoy dodged the question. Khamenei convened his aides in U.S. and Israeli planners had anticipated, and they bombed him to death. Well done. Well done. Now we have his grandson to worry about, so there you go. Problem solved, right? Let me just blow through some of these headlines because, again, there's so much. And I'm going to look to Brandon Weikert to help us, like, tie this all together and give us, you know, what is the latest. But here's what we got. Saudi Aramco refinery shut down after Iran drone strike. Now, this one, interestingly, was denied by Iran. Iran said they didn't do this. Iran said that Israel did this and is blaming it on them, which is interesting because they didn't deny anything else. I mean, they bombed the Palm Hotel in Dubai. I mean, they've bombed a lot of places that, you know, you would think they'd come out and go, oh, that wasn't us if it really wasn't them. But they take credit for all those. They are not taking credit for the Saudi Arabian oil field. In fact, the attack on Aramco oil facilities this morning was carried out by Israel and was a false flag operation from Monitor X on X. According to Iranian intelligence services, the port of Fujairah in the UAE is also one of Israel's next targets in this false flag operation, and Israel intends to attack it. This according to Tasnim News, citing Iranian military officials. Again, I don't know if that's true, but it's a little weird that they would bomb all these places and then just come out to this one and go, whoa, we didn't do that. But maybe they did, maybe they didn't. I trust Iran more than I trust Israel at this point, so I'm going to go with Iran on this one. Khomeini's death brings Khomeini's grandson into focus. A grandson of Ayatollah Khomeini, the late founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran, is likely to figure prominently in the deliberations of the clerics who will determine who replaces Ayatollah Khomeini as supreme leader. The killing of Khomeini, 86, in a U.S.-Israeli attack has brought new urgency to the question of who will be the next supreme leader, a long-simmering issue over which there has been no clarity despite his age. Khomeini, 53, holds symbolically important role in public life as the custodian of his grandfather's mausoleum in southern Tehran. He has also served in government, or he is, he's never served in government. Some politicians inside Iran see him as a rival to hardliners who gained sway under Khomeini. The case for installing a moderate successor to Khomeini gained momentum among some Iranian politicians in the wake of unrest that swept Iran in January as a means of showing up the Islamic Republic in the face of widening dissent. But if I had to guess now that they're under, you know, brutal attack by Iran and America, they're probably going to pick a hardliner. It's probably going to get worse, if I had to guess. If I had to guess, they're probably going to choose somebody who makes Khomeini look like Gandhi, and this whole thing will backfire severely, and that was probably the intention in the first place. Israel deploys Iron Beam laser defense system for the first time ever. Mike Huckabee praises game-changing innovation. That's right, folks. They're not Jewish space lasers. They're ground-based Jewish lasers, okay? Israel launches waves of airstrikes across Lebanon after Hezbollah fires rockets into Israeli territory. And then there's this from CNN. Timing of Iran attack, quote, bears symbolic meaning in Judaism. The timing of the U.S.-Israeli attack on Iran bears symbolic meaning in Judaism. Ahead of the upcoming Jewish holiday of Purim, worshipers read the specific portion from the Old Testament known as the Zakor. And basically they're saying that, yes, this is sort of a Jewish mysticist Kabbalah ceremony that we're all engaged in, sort of a human sacrifice for, I guess, the coming of the fake Messiah and the Antichrist. So, you know, Purim seems to be when all of the wars in the Middle East start, and this seems to be guided by the, spiritual underpinning of the Israeli regime. It's a little weird. That's a little odd that they'd be bragging about this. This type of thing you typically see, you know, neo-Nazis talk about. But no, it's Israel themselves and CNN reporting what a brilliant and amazing thing it is. You ever notice all of the Jewish holidays are about them killing everybody? You ever notice that? You ever thought about that for a little bit? Ours are like, Jesus is a baby. And theirs are like, they tried to kill us. We killed them, all of them.
We're engaged in world-changing information here. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified, best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at theolivestonestore.com. And we have a massive sale. Alert, alert, alert. I'm saying this live on air Thursday, February 26th, and that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country, so good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything, and you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies and our high-quality Shilajit. You get either or, you choose, absolutely free with our creatine. The Alex Jones Store. We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, with the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
keep your hand on your gun.
All right, welcome back, folks. Don't you trust me? We're going to be joined by Brandon Weikert in this hour, help break down exactly what the hell's going on in the Middle East, what comes next, where this goes, what the goal even is. It's all retarded. So we'll break it down. One strange thing that's happened is apparently, allegedly, Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel, may have fled Israel and is in Germany now. Regardless, his war cabinet, when convened, posted a picture that shows this. This is from Itai Epstein. In Israel's war cabinet, overseeing the offensive force against Iran, sits not only the Minister of Defense and the head of General Security Services, but Michael Eisenberg, the venture capitalist associated with the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation and the Board of Peace. When those who finance and engineer politicized aid architecture take a seat at the table of war, spare us the lectures on neutrality and impartiality. Humanitarian relief is not a branding exercise. It's governed by law. So supposedly, Michael Eisenberg is there in the war cabinet with Israel helping to plan this stuff. Now, this immediately struck my interest, piqued my interest, because I know about Michael Eisenberg. I featured him in the Eighth Front War video that I made. He is the venture capitalist who's telling American Jews it's time to leave the declining empire of America and join him in Israel as part of the rising empire. Okay, so we now have this person who is an American, theoretically, technically, in the war cabinet with Israel, planning the war on Iran while simultaneously not just talking about moving to Israel and bringing, you know, the wealth of American Jews with them, but like actively doing that, like actively engaged in that already. So he's sitting there looting American, the American stock market, and getting his money out of American companies, sending them to Israel while simultaneously telling everybody, look, America is collapsing. Look, it's the money is leaving. You better come with us to Israel. Let's watch these clips. First go to clip number. Let's just go to clip 4 and 5. Here's Michael Eisenberg, who apparently, allegedly is sitting in the war cabinet with the war leadership of Israel, plotting our demise just as soon as we get done destroying Iran for them. Let's watch.
Beginning already in Q1, hedge funds get set up in Israel so we become another capital of finance. I'll argue we will beat London within a short decade as a second capital of finance. It's going to be New York as a gateway to America, Hong Kong a gateway to China, Dubai a gateway to Southeast Asia, and Israel as a gateway to other parts of the world. And you can decide, you can stay here in New York in a declining empire, or you can come to Israel, which is part of the rising middle of the world, which is moving south and east. That's what I encourage you to do.
That's what I encourage you to do. Leave the declining empire, America, and come to the rising empire, Israel. That's what I'm encouraging everybody to do. And he goes on to say, that's what I did, right? That's what he did. So he's a billionaire. He's a venture capitalist. He's made billions and billions of dollars in America, and he's now taking all of that money, taking all of that investment clout, and taking it to Israel because he doesn't actually care about and is not loyal to America. And I want you to notice another thing. Let's play that one clip again. Let's play clip 4 again. Notice what he perceives as, you know, the coming power centers in the world and what they serve as gateways to. Okay, let's watch.
Beginning already in Q1, hedge funds get set up in Israel, so we become another capital of finance. I'll argue we will beat London within a short decade as a second capital of finance. It's going to be New York as a gateway to America, Hong Kong a gateway to China, Dubai a gateway to Southeast Asia, and Israel as a gateway to other parts of the world.
Okay, so what about Europe? What about Europe? He doesn't intend Europe to be a part of this coalition. Like, do you understand what he's saying? He says New York will be the gateway to America, whatever, you know, exists as America. I'm sure it will be flooded by tens of millions of refugees from the war that he and his friends are currently starting. But he says, you know, Dubai will be the gateway to Southeast Asia. Beijing will be the gateway to China. Israel will be gateway to Africa and the rest of the world. I guess Europe's just not a part of his calculation. Because I guess they're going to take down London. London's no longer going to be the center of finance, which once that goes, it's got absolutely nothing. So I guess that's the collapse there. So Europe will collapse. The rest of the world will rise. He's the one doing it, but he's also telling you to be prepared that this is happening while he's planning the war that's currently causing it all.
have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, with the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Have you ever been experienced? Well, we have. Let us show you now on The War Room with Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, folks. This is The War Room. I got to tell you, the sale ends tonight if you want to get free CMOS gummies or Shilajit gummies when you buy Ultimate Creatine Powder at TheAlexJonesStore.com. TheAlexJonesStore.com is how we stay on the air and in the fight. As you know, we're going to go through some major changes here momentarily. I think Alex announced on the show today it'd be no later than April 1st if things continue the way they're going. So just know now we need as much capital as we can get because we're about to launch into something brand new and even more powerful, and you can support us in this mission by going to thealexjonesstore.com. There's one thing that should be abundantly clear. We ain't going anywhere. We're only going to get bigger, and we're only able to talk about what we talk about because we have your support at thealexjonesstore.com. We don't have customers. We don't have advertisers. We don't have people giving us money. It's just you. If we do what you like, I hope you go to thealexjonesstore.com. If you don't go there, we go away. And that's what's given us the freedom to discuss all of this stuff as openly and truthfully as we possibly can. And on that note, I'm very happy to welcome my guest, Brandon Weikert. You can follow him on X at WeTheBrandon. His book is called The Shadow War, Iran's Quest for Supremacy. He's a geopolitical analysis and founder of the Weikert Report, World News Done Right, guided by Herman Kahn's motto against fashionable thinking. And again, you can follow him on X at WeTheBrandon. He's one of my favorite followers. Brandon, how are you, sir?
I am trying to survive the so-called golden age. I don't know about you.
Doesn't feel so golden to me, man. It's been a while. It feels like every time we talk, it was always like, all right, is it going to happen? When's it going to happen? It seems like it's going to happen. Well, it's happened, Brandon. It's happened. Yeah. We are now at war with Iran. How are you taking this?
We have always been at war with Iran. This is where we are right now. Basically, to me, I am anticipating ground troops to be deployed within the next several weeks. I don't think the air war is going anywhere near as well as they're claiming. Then again, though, I don't believe anything anymore the government tells me. We've certainly degraded a lot of things in Iran. The Israelis in particular have killed a bunch of their leaders, as you noted at the top of the hour, notably the Ayatollah. But the Ayatollah wasn't important. He was a symbolic head, but he wasn't actually running the regime. Now, we have killed, or the Israelis have killed, a lot of IRGC commanders who were running things. But apparently, a country of 96 million people or so has more people to promote. So, their regime survives. And I'll just say this. There's a mismatch in objectives here. Our objectives are way too many, for one. You've got three objectives here: regime change, ending the nuclear weapons program in Iran, and the ballistic missile systems they want gone. We do. The Iranian goal, they just have to survive. They have to hang on long enough for our air defense interceptors and our offensive missile systems in the CENTCOM area of responsibility, AOR, to be depleted. And according to many reports that I've read and people that I've talked to, former missile defense agency people and whatnot, the report that I'm getting is that before the war began, Trump was told there's only about 8 days worth of stockpiles in the Middle East for a high tempo war of the kind we're currently fighting. We're going into day four. So if those numbers are accurate at all, in the next week, we're going to be running low, and they're going to have to pull stockpiles then from the Indo-PACOM area, which means we're going to be draining our defenses against China to fight Israel. I mean, to fight our war against the Islamic Republic of Iran. And there's no doubt that the Iranians are not our friends. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, this was not a pressing issue. The decision to go to war was not based on any imminent threat. And the Pentagon today in that press conference with Hegseth and General Kane confirmed that there was no intelligence suggesting that they were 2 weeks away, from a nuclear breakout.
Or any sort of threat against us, if I remember correctly. How do you even wrap your mind around what's going? Because there's so much conflicting information. AI videos make everything complicated. Yep. Now I'm basically clicking the grok button on every video I see, just going, is this AI? I mean, it's almost automatically have a tag.
I got burned the other day. I posted something that I thought was from Haifa, and then I double checked, and I was like, oh, AI. Yeah.
So there's all that mis and disinformation, and then there's just like what you're seeing. I'm seeing a ton of video of Tel Aviv getting hit and American bases getting hit. My feed doesn't have a lot of Iranian, you know, damage being done to Iran, but I'm seeing that also. It seems to me like things, my just bird's eye view interpretation is, all right, it looks like things are not going as smoothly as maybe they hoped. And it seems like Trump expected this to almost be a repeat of Venezuela. And since it's not, the rumors and sort of the signals are like people in the Pentagon are like, we don't actually know what we're doing here. But then, like, you got the Tel Aviv stock market reaching extra, you know, the highest it's ever reached. So I'm like, all right, what is the situation? How do you even get a handle on what's real at this point?
Well, at this point, what I would recommend to everybody is the next probably 48 hours are going to be key for determining whether or not Iran is still in the fight truly, or if what we're witnessing is the last gasp of a truly dying regime. I am leaning toward the fact that the Iranians still have some fight in them, although other military experts are telling me that I'm crazy. But to me, I think the Iranians have planned for this very well, and they've been hit hard, but they're still fighting. In terms of what to expect, I actually think that the president thought once he got rid of Khamenei, the Ayatollah, that the whole system would implode and, it would be sort of like we could do what we did with Maduro. And I think he is now waking up to the fact that this is not, and I said this to people near the administration, I was warning for weeks, Iran is not Venezuela in any way. And, you know, here we are. The Iranian regime has been under attack for 46 years. They've been attacking us. We've been attacking them. They've been attacking Israel, et cetera. So they have had time to prepare. And so far their preparations look to be, you know, I wouldn't say perfect, but again, their only objective is regime survival until they think we run out of missiles and air defense interceptors. And that's coming up real soon. And then they can go ham with their own long range ballistic missiles, which they have thousands of. We're trying to take out their missile cities underground. That's what those B-2 strikes over the weekend were about, with 2,000 pound bombs. I'm not convinced those strikes were successful any more than I wasn't convinced, and I was right, that the strikes against the nuclear facilities last year were effective.
Here's a question for you. What do you think the casualty list really looks like right now? I mean, all we've seen is that four jets were shot down in friendly fire. I mean, as far as I can tell, that's sort of the only confirmed casualties that America is admitting yet. You've got Iran saying, actually, we think hundreds of American servicemen have killed. I can't help but see some of the attacks on the hotels or the bases in Bahrain and go, if anybody was in that building, they're dead. What do you think the casualty list looks like on both sides right now?
I do think we've killed quite a bit of Iranian leaders. I'm sure, and I've seen some battle damage in Tehran. It looks pretty apocalyptic. It looks pretty apocalyptic in parts of Tel Aviv too. I have people that have been sending me things and they're not allowed to send them, so I can't share them. But I have seen things, out of Tel Aviv, even out of parts of Jerusalem that are, that look pretty bad for the Israelis. In terms of our casualties, I'm going to just stick, and the only reason I say this is because when you start speculating, you know, then the OSINT crowd comes after you, and, you know, then you get smeared as an Iranian apologist or whatever. I'm going to say that the last CENTCOM report I saw about an hour ago today was that six service members have been killed. Many more wounded. I don't remember the number of wounded, but, the number is increasing almost, you know, almost geometrically. Now, that's the official narrative. My theory, I'm just sort of speculating here, is I'm wondering if the administration is sort of slow walking the release of real casualty figures because they don't want it to seem like it's this bad. It is very clear to me, having been around Trump, having watched him from afar rise, having been on, you know, multiple events and meeting him and many of his advisors. I know many of his Pentagon advisors very well. I get a sense that they are taken aback by the fact that the Iranians have been able to sustain any kind of operational tempo. And in fact, the Iranians are actually increasing their missile attacks on the region. Now, maybe it all fizzles in 2 days, and that's the hope. Like sort of like the cancer patient gets a burst of energy right before he dies.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Iranians, like I said, have had time to prepare. And I really do think this is, it's already become a regional war, Harrison. I think it's about to become a world war. We've already seen the French are getting involved. The British are now, despite their protestations, they are now engaging in air defense operations with their jets over Oman. This is very much a global conflict. And with the Strait of Hormuz shut down now, this is becoming an oil war as much as anything else.
And the Strait of Hormuz, I want to get into that too, because that's an interesting wrinkle to this because of how much more damaging it is to Europe and China than us to shut down that strait. But obviously it's going to affect the, you know, oil prices the world over.
Yeah.
Do you have any confirmation one way or the other about strikes on the USS Lincoln? Because this is another rumor I was hearing, but cannot confirm to my own satisfaction whether or not it's true.
So I know that the four ballistic missiles are what the official narrative is that were fired after Kamani's death was confirmed at the Abraham Lincoln, the Nimitz-class carrier operating in the North Arabian Sea. The CENTCOM is claiming that it never came within, you know, reach. But we saw during the Houthi battle a year ago or 2 years ago almost – the U.S. carriers are very vulnerable to these anti-ship ballistic missiles. So I'm convinced, and the number that was sent, only four, my assumption on that is I think the Iranians were sending a message more than anything to Washington, D.C. We can really F you up if you really keep at it. Now, an interesting story, and it's been 2 days. I've been trying to get it confirmed. I can't. But there was a missing submarine, Iranian submarine. Now, we've done a very good job of getting of knocking out the Iranian Navy. There was one Fatah-class air-independent propulsion-powered diesel-electric submarine that was missing from its home port when we began the attack. The assumption was that she was underway and she was on the prowl. And the reason I say this is even though it's an old system, the AIP is an old system compared to what we've got. For 25 years in NATO war games, European diesel electric submarines have been able to simulate successfully sinking U.S. carriers, because the way that their engines operate, they're quieter and they're harder to detect for the carrier's battle group. And if the carrier had been under sustained anti-ship ballistic missile attack and drone attack at the same time, that Fatah class in theory could have gotten within torpedo range and had a successful shot. Now, what I was told is, and I've not been able to confirm this, but what I was told is that Fatah class submarine did in fact, around the time those four ballistic missiles were fired at the carrier, did get very near to the carrier, attempted to fire torpedoes at it, but one of our assets was able to detect it and sank it before it could pop off the torpedoes at the carrier. But this is a very hot environment, and I would just remind your audience, for all the rah-rah about the carriers, they are still operating outside the range of many of these Iranian weapons, which indicates to me the Pentagon is very much worried about what kind of capabilities Iran still has.
That's what it seems like to me as well. And, of course, again, the base is getting struck so thoroughly, but no reports of casualties makes me think that the Americans must have gotten underground or, you know, just gotten out of the range of the missiles before it hit, or they're lying to us about the casualty list, but it's got to be one of those or the other. Man, there's so many places to go with this, Brandon. Where do you want to go with this? Because I can ask about, you know, Russia is making threats now. Just let me ask you this. Is the confusion in the messaging, do you think that is strictly because the messaging is confused, or do you think that hints to of actual confusion in the strategic discussions that are going on. I can't tell whether they just don't have their messaging right, so it looks convoluted, or whether this is, you know, representative of a disordered, you know, set of minds trying to figure this out. Do you have any inclination one way or the other?
I think they are very surprised by how effective the Iranian resistance has been thus far.
Okay.
Again, the Iranians have been hit. They've been hit very hard. And, you know, for the sake of our people, I'm hopeful that we win this thing quickly. But, you know, I have to put my analytical hat on. And, you know, Trump is normally a very savvy media guy. If anything else, he is very good about managing the media. But this has been one of the worst examples of media mismanagement. And I'm just kind of surprised, just given his background and his talent for media management, that this has gone off so badly, the messaging. And the only thing I can think of is he was told and he assumed one thing in terms of an outcome, this being quick like Maduro. And now he's waking up on day four, going into day four, and there's no resolution to this thing, which indicates to me that things are worse than we're realizing. And I also want to point out something to your audience, Harrison. That press conference today with Hegseth and General Kane, they completely, particularly the military, the uniformed military, Kane, is clearly trying to distance the Pentagon from this war. Kane has repeatedly come out and said and voiced concern about this operation, or he's done it indirectly through leaks. He has repeatedly now said that, oh, we didn't have intelligence of an imminent threat. Well, that contradicts what the president said this last weekend. And then Hegseth himself said, this is not a regime change war, but that also completely contradicts what the president said, Saturday and again, 48 hours ago, about this issue. And what that indicates to me, Harrison, is that there's real legal and political concern within the Pentagon, and they are now trying to distance themselves from what they think is going to become a very pear-shaped operation very soon if this continues beyond a week.
Do you know if there's any legitimacy to the claims that Trump wanted a ceasefire and that Iran rejected them?
I believe that is accurate. So what happened was, around the time the attacks or the threats to the carrier began, I was told, and again, this is all hearsay, but I was told that the president became kind of wigged out, at the what was going on with the Abraham Lincoln, the carrier, and he immediately called, and basically the Iranians didn't pick up, and the Iranians are not interested in talking. To be fair, we've killed quite a few people in the Iranian leadership, so there might not have been people to talk to. But interestingly also, in his weird late night discourse with Jonathan Carl of ABC, the president apparently said that the leader that we wanted to work with within the Iranian Revolutionary Guard was also killed in the initial strikes. Well, who was doing the initial strikes were the Israelis. Right. The Israelis, this is not widely reported. The first day of strikes were widely done by the Israelis at standoff ranges. We were doing sort of electronic warfare methodology. It was the Israelis, which indicates to me that the Israelis do not want a stable government forming in the aftermath of whatever happens militarily.
Right. And of course that sort of makes sense with everything else that we've seen so far. And was that, you know, again, a lot of this is speculation. Everything that we're saying now, you know, you sort of have to take with a grain of salt, and hopefully, you know, more clarity will come later. But, you know, I think you have better sources than just about anybody else.
Well, they're going to freeze me out eventually.
That's all right. We'll get you on as much as possible until then. But, I mean, just where does this go from here? What is the goal? I mean, again, I'm just sort of torn because you see Trump and he seems confident and he's like, yeah, this is fine. We're ahead of schedule. And it's like, I don't think we are, dude.
He doesn't seem confident to me, actually. I know a lot of people around him. I've interacted with him. I've followed him for a decade now in politics very closely. He does not seem very confident. He seems defensive at times. He seems almost kind of bored. That's kind of the look on his face, is one of boredom at times and sort of nonchalance. Almost like, yeah, I'm having to do this. Like Marco and Susie made me do this.
Right.
So I'm doing this for them and for Netanyahu because, you know, he owes me a lot of money. You know, that's sort of the takeaway I have is that this is not really Trump's grand initiative. I think he's sort of going along with it because he feels he has to. And you know, if it works out, then he gets to say, hey, look at all this, the success I've had. But I think he's waking up to the fact that this thing is not going to be over. You know, now he's talking about 4 to 5 weeks. And to be fair, from the beginning, the administration always said that they're planning for a 4-week war. But, you know, with those stockpile issues, I can't imagine that Trump and his military leaders really thought this would go that long. And furthermore, you know, you look at what's going on with, Trump and you say, well, this guy is going to be facing a recession because you mentioned the Strait of Hormuz. It went a 6% price increase, today, which is only a few dollars right now. And the markets closed on Friday around $73 per barrel. But now, you know, that's going to now increase and we're going to be inching closer to 80 to 90 barrels, dollars per barrel. This thing lasts for 3 weeks. The assessment is in 3 weeks. We will be, if it continues as it is with the Straits of Hormuz being interdicted the way they are, we will be staring at $120 per barrel minimum oil. And that means that you and I are going to be paying significantly more, and $120 or higher in oil at this time in the economy equals recession right in time, for the midterm elections. And if he loses those midterms, he will be impeached no matter what. The Democrats will not drop this, especially because now the Democrats are claiming that Rubio in the last Gang of Eight meeting lied to them and held back intelligence so that he could get a favorable opinion from them on striking Iran. And if that can be proven, then you've got a huge problem on your hand politically and legally for Trump and his team.
I was going to say, I mean, hell, Trump might be impeached, you know, before the midterms by how unpopular this war is being.
Well, I don't think the Republicans are going to do that to him in the Congress. He's got they're pretty simpatico. Plus, they all want this to happen anyway. But once they lose those majorities, Harrison, it's a whole new political reality for us. And the golden age becomes a golden fizzle.
That's true. I just think I think whoever figures out that impeachment, you know, over the Iran war is popular is going to do it. And everybody else is going to jump
on.
It'll
probably Ro Khanna and Thomas Massie. I think the two of them will gang up on that.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised about that. And, you know, part of the whole confusion and convoluted messaging is that Americans don't support this war. We haven't been given a reason to. No. So, I mean, I think the latest I saw.
He didn't even try to lie to us the way George W. Bush did.
That's what I mean. It's like, at least give us something to sink our teeth into, but there's like, no, you know, we're just doing it. It is so crazy.
That's the tell, by the way. He thought it would be quicker than it was.
I think so too. I think he expected this to be another Venezuela. He thought, oh, all these doubters are whining and crying, but by Monday they'll see and I'll be able to tout this as a success. And I think he was just lied to. I mean, I have to assume that he's been lied to.
He should fire every single White House national security person. Right now, he needs to clean house and he needs to get rid of Susie, and he needs to probably put Rubio back in Foggy Bottom and get him out of the White House.
Yeah, I mean, it is such a disaster, and it's sad because it's entirely of his own making. And then you have satellite images revealing aftermath of drone attack on Saudi Arabia's biggest refinery. So, I mean, it's not just the Strait of Hormuz blocking the flow to oil, mostly to Europe and China. It's going to be our suppliers here as well, and there's no sign of anything slowing down. Again, the fact that he's reported to have asked for a ceasefire and that Iran denied means they at least think it's going well. More with Brandon Weichert on the other side. So much more to get into, folks.
Alert, alert, alert. We're engaged in world-changing information here. The worldwide satanic pedophile networks, the poison shots, depopulation, the classified CIA documents about poisoning the food and water and medicines to make us dumb and more docile and controllable and to make us sick and die. Operation Artichoke fully declassified this week. Total vindication of this broadcast. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified, best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at TheAlexShowStore.com. And we have a massive sale, and that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies. Each gummy is equivalent to like 40 grams or something of Irish Sea Moss. It's so good for you. A bunch of other super nutrients. And our high-quality Shilajit. You get either or. You choose absolutely free. That's a $35 value. Absolutely free with our creatine. There's also store-wide 25% off all apparel. That ends midnight Wednesday, March 4th. But let me just overhead shot show TV viewers a couple of things right here. KU Medical Center. Creatine shows potential to boost cognition in Alzheimer's patients. Just type in creatine Alzheimer's. Creatine and cognition and aging, a systematic review of evidence in older adults, a major study. HHS Public Access. Effects of creatine supplementation on cognitive function of healthy individuals, a systematic review of randomized controlled trials. And it's not just good for your brain, it's good for your heart, your muscles, everything. Everybody always thinks of it for muscles. But it's every organ, folks, and you got to get the right kind of creatine. We have the best. Here's BBC telling the truth. The bodybuilding supplement that boosts brain power. I mean, my God, I was taking creatine in high school. I could bench press 350 pounds, weighed 180 pounds, squatting 600. My strength just exploded once I got on creatine. But what's it do for your brain? Want bigger gains in your brain? Six facts about creatine and brain health. Get your creatine already discounted. Get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss and or Shilajit until Monday, March 2nd at midnight. And it funds the operation. Take action now at TheAlexShowStore.com. Plus, 25% off all apparel, t-shirts, hats, and hoodies. Ends midnight, Wednesday, March 4th. Take advantage of that. We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, I want the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. I want just Americana stuff. Christian, crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus. Classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. I gave the concept great guys over there and gals. All up in Arkansas, where Big League's based. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. It's got a cool deal on the right-hand shoulder. And there's just, it's over 700 shirts now. That's the only problem, is that you find a shirt, you get it, you like it, you want to buy another one. Takes me like, if you don't remember the name of the shirt, it takes you like an hour to find it. But that's a good problem to have.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. My guest is Brandon J. Weikert. You can follow him at WeTheBrandon on X. He's the founder of the Weikert Report News, World News Done Right. And again, you can follow him at WeTheBrandon, and I encourage you to do so. Brandon, I'm not sure if you've seen this, but Secretary Rubio, a little less than an hour ago, made a statement about Israel and America and who decided to attack first, I'd love to go to this clip and get your response to it. Here's Marco Rubio less than an hour ago. Brandon Weikert commenting on the other side. Let's watch.
The United States conducted this operation with a fair, clear goal in mind. I haven't got a chance to see a lot of reporting. I don't understand what the confusion is. Let me explain it to you, and I'll do it once again as clearly as possible. Perhaps you'll report it that way. The United States is conducting an operation to eliminate the threat of Iran's short-range ballistic missiles and the threat posed by their Navy, particularly to naval assets. That is what it is focused on doing right now, and it's doing quite successfully. I'll leave it to the Pentagon and the Department of War to discuss the tactics behind that and the progress that's being made. That is the clear objective of this mission. The second question that's been asked is, why now? Well, there's two reasons why now. The first is it was abundantly clear that if Iran came under attack by anyone, the United States or Israel or anyone, they were going to respond and respond against the United States. The orders had been delegated down to the field commanders. It was automatic, and in fact, it bared to be true, because in fact, within an hour of the initial attack on the leadership compound, the missile forces in the south and in the north, for that matter, had already been activated to launch. In fact, those had already been pre-positioned. The third is the assessment that was made that if we stood and waited for that attack to come first before we hit them, we would suffer much higher casualties. And so the president made the very wise decision. We knew that there was going to be an Israeli action. We knew that that would precipitate an attack against American forces. And we knew that if we didn't preemptively go after them before they launched those attacks, we would suffer higher casualties and perhaps even higher those killed. And then we would all be here answering questions about why we knew that and didn't act.
Whoa, okay. That was Secretary of State Marco Rubio essentially admitting that we had to attack because Israel attacked, and if Israel attacks, Iran's going to attack us. That was kind of mind-blowing. Is that the message you just got? I feel like I just heard Secretary Rubio blame this on Israel.
Yeah, well, but like I said, they're all scrambling now. This is how you know. They're all in CYA mode. You know, I remember living and working in D.C. well. I can tell when they're flailing. I have advised people when they're in this position, and this is exactly what you do. He is blame shifting. He is, he also said something very interesting. He's admitting now that it was a preemptive war. Well, I can guarantee you, again, if the Democrats take over, this is going to be the mother of all congressional investigations now. And I hope he's got a good attorney, because this thing is going to be an ever widening investigation into the intelligence behind the war. And I don't believe for a second that this was a preemptive strike at all. I think that is a bold-faced lie. Now, what you're saying about the Israelis is very interesting, because as I said, at the first day, the attack was conducted predominantly by the Israelis. But the United States provided critical electronic warfare assistance. We provided intelligence. We provided targeting intelligence to the Israelis. And furthermore, we deployed a picket of F-22 Raptors from one of our Middle East bases, and they provided suppression of enemy air defenses, SEED capabilities for the Israeli systems that were being deployed against Iran on that first day. So he can say what he wants about, oh, the Israelis initiated, and they probably did. But this was done in very close coordination with the administration. This was executed according to a pre-designed plan. And now what they're doing is they're trying to blame shift, because I think Rubio, who's very savvy politically, understands, as does Hegseth and Kane and the rest of them, that this thing's going breasts up very quickly, and they need to have cover stories, and they need to have deflection narratives. Because if it is allowed to fester and the Democrats do take power, Harrison, these guys are cooked. There will be impeachments. There will be investigations that will basically end their political careers right now.
I mean, this is sort of uncharted water as far as the American regime is concerned, the American government is concerned, because, I mean, to blame Israel like that, like, it seems like this could almost lead to, you know, the American people demanding that we not be allies with Israel anymore. If we just, I mean, again, I'm walking away with this, having just heard Marco Rubio basically say Israel attacked, and so we had to. So, I mean, this is has been such a disaster so far of messaging and everything. If it gets worse, it sounds like he's laying the blame at the feet of the Israelis, and that would
be. He is.
So,
he
is. This could open up the door to actually.
I had a source tell me about that school strike, by the way, and this is all starting to make sense now. I had a source tell me from the Pentagon, insist to me that the school that was destroyed in Iran was not done by U.S. bombs. It was done by Israel. Mm. And so now, of course, I have no way of confirming that. This is all sort of, you know, background, but, there definitely seems to be narrative building here. Again, this strike doesn't happen. Yes, the Israelis probably went first. This strike doesn't happen without very close-in support and intelligence sharing from us. So the notion that, oh, America didn't have anything to do with it, we were just kind of dragged along, that's I don't buy that for a second. This was
I don't buy it either. It's just the fact that they would even hint at that. That's the flailing. Interesting part, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, clearly, this is not going as well as they thought it would. And, you know, maybe they can pull it out of the fire. Maybe the Iranians are more wounded than we're realizing. You know, we'll find out, like I said, in 48 hours. That's going to be the real key window. But for now, clearly it's not going well. They can't get their story straight. People don't remember, the Friday. So 3:38 p.m. last Friday was supposedly when Kane received the order to initiate airstrikes for that Saturday. What happened around that time was the leak from Vice Admiral Fred Kocher, who was the director of the joint staff for the joint the joint chiefs of staff. It's basically, he was an underling of Kane, and he leaked to the press this very contentious meeting that Kane had with Trump, right, in which Kane basically outlined all the reasons you should not attack Iran the way you're planning to, Mr. President. Trump didn't listen, and so shortly after, Kocher released that information in the leak. Now, the big question in the Pentagon has been, was this Kocher acting on his own, or was he doing it because Kane asked him to do it? And I believe Kane asked him to do it, which means you have within the military, uniform military, there is a very deep aversion to what the president is ordering them to do, because they understand the logistics. They understand the supply chain. They understand the weaknesses in the defense industrial base. And the president, for whatever reason, is just deadlocked on this Iran war. And he's locked in harder, I think, even than George W. Bush was on Iraq.
Truly. I mean, you talk about uncharted territory. It's like everything about this has been this way for a while. I mean, obviously, I think this is tied up in the Epstein stuff as well. And that's another example of just like, what is happening? How did everybody switch sides all of a sudden? It's also baffling. And like,
it's a big club and we're not in it.
Apparently not. but like, this is another headline that I'm just like, what world are we in? How did things go so wrong so bad? So fast. UAE and Qatar urge allies to help Trump find off-ramp to in Iran. So is this from Bloomberg? Yeah, so Bloomberg has this story. The United Arab Emirates and Qatar are privately lobbying allies to help them persuade Donald Trump to reach for an off-ramp that would keep U.S. military operations against Iran short, according to people familiar with the matter. So again, we're like 72 hours into this conflict, and apparently our allies are like, please, how do we get Trump to stop? Crazy.
I like to think of Trump and Netanyahu as like Thelma and Louise going in the car, holding hands off the cliff, everybody screaming at them, please stop.
To their back bumper. That's the issue.
That's right. Kurt Mills is texting me saying calamity is building. So, I mean, I'm sure something just happened that's horrific, because the golden age never stops. No, the Middle East is, the tragedy here is that, last year, Donald Trump went to the Middle East and he effected an incredible geoeconomic coup in which he basically, there we go. You got a great team there.
Yep.
He basically effected a geoeconomic coup, and he empowered the Arab states to stand up in closer trade relations with the United States on things like AI and advanced manufacturing. It's hard to believe a year ago this is the same president, because that was the famous Riyadh speech he gave last year in which he said commerce over conflict.
Yeah, that was an amazing speech.
It was. And now here we are a year later, and he's basically shredded that. And he is now all in on the Israeli Greater Project or Greater Israel Project. And, you know, this thing is going to bleed America dry. We're going to lose those stockpiles. And if you note, Harrison, the geopolitical impact of this that's not being widely reported, we are phasing our presence out of these Arab states because of the threat.
Right.
So for those Arab states who are dependent on the U.S. having some presence or foothold in their country for security purposes, well, no matter what, we're pulling out because we can't protect our bases anymore. So this is a sea change. Even if we, quote, win in Iran, which I'm hopeful we do because I'm pro-America, but even if we do, the geopolitical landscape in the region is going to be so fundamentally different. It will be wide open for the Chinese and Russians to come in and scoop up that part of the world. And you know what? They can have it. But ultimately, this is one of the most thoughtless endeavors I have ever seen. I've never seen the country this blasé about a major war.
It really defies explanation. Like it is, and you know, part of me is like, I don't know, grasping for straws and going, maybe this is the only way to get out of the Middle East for America. Maybe.
Well,
you know,
that would be the silver lining. That would be the silver lining.
The silver light. Yeah. Whether intentional or not, it's kind of like, you know, when I saw it was like, you know, USS Abraham Lincoln, you know, leaves the area after getting hit by missiles. I'm like, good. We should leave. Yes. We should leave immediately. Right. Now is the time to go.
That's
things
right.
are a little hot around here. We're going to step off for a little bit.
You're it.
Yeah. That'd be great. Just go where it's going to settle down. We'll be back in a few years. You guys handle this. The Gulf countries, again, they're having sort of a weird response. I don't know if you want to get into that, and then the proxies as well. But Gulf countries first. What is their response to being attacked?
Well, you have to understand the Gulf countries, contrary to what Israel says about these Gulf countries, they are totally in bed with the United States and Israel. In fact, Saudi Arabia might have been working with Israel on 9/11. Anyway, though, I don't want to get into that here. You know, they're totally in bed with the U.S. and Israel. So this notion that these governments are hostile to Israel is ridiculous. They are not. But the people are different from their government. And the people are irate at the United States now because, hey, their economy is their lifeblood, and it's being annihilated by these Iranian missiles. Whether the Iranians are going away or not is irrelevant to the average, you know, person in Qatar or Bahrain or and the thing about Bahrain is they're overwhelmingly Shiite Muslims.
Right.
So you would think that you know, and they're still they're everybody's angry at us. Because their entire economic model is being destroyed by our foreign policy. And this is going to destabilize the region for years. And if this conflict continues, you might see the fall of Arab regimes that are close to the United States. And remember, a lot of these populations are Islamist. So they might get replaced by Al-Qaeda types.
Right. Right. Absolutely. I mean, it's just, so these are sirens. So, I mean, it's still going on a massive degree. I thought maybe that they had just bombed Cyprus. This happened a little while ago, but
that was what they threatened. They threatened to do it this morning. They might have actually done it.
I think they did. Europe very likely to get dragged into conflict after UK base in Cyprus hit. So apparently they're blaming Hezbollah for hitting the base in Cyprus, because basically American armaments went to stage in Cyprus, and so Iran said,
flee.
We'll find you there.
We had to flee. I mean, this is the unsung story here, is we've had to flee from the region. Operating out of Cyprus is not a normal thing for the U.S. military and the CENTCOM AOR. This is a completely, it's because we are having to withdraw and create a fortress for ourselves over the horizon. And it's not enough, obviously. So that indicates to me that the Iranians have still got quite a lot of fight in them. And, it's probably why Rubio is flailing, you know, on the steps of Capitol Hill. That's probably why the Hegseth and Kane are, you know, countermanding what the president is saying in public. And the president seems kind of ambivalent to the whole event. This is a very big crisis, and it's going to blow up very soon into what I think will be in my book, The Shadow War, I said a war with Iran will initiate a world war.
Right.
And it looks like we are on the track for that. And I don't see any off ramp here. You know, the Iranians are fanatics anyway, that regime. So you're putting a fanatic in a corner. It's probably not the best place to put him. A very well-armed fanatic. Right. Exactly. You know, and then they seal off the Strait of Hormuz. You've got the Houthis, sealing off the Strait of Bab el Mandeb. You've got the Houthis, going after the Red Sea. You talked about targeting those refineries. Who knows who did it, but the end result is this is creating so much volatility in the global oil market that it's going to spike the price. And if this continues over the long run, which I suspect it will spike the price severely and possibly lead to a recession here in the United States. Meanwhile, in China, now China is very important here because we are told by the administration's, you know, apologists that, oh, we're, this is great. Venezuela was an oil source for China, and so is Iran, and we're taking away their oil sources, and it's going to be the end of their economy. Well, to be clear, China only got around 4% of their oil from Venezuela. They got about 14 to 15% of their oil from Iran. However, in the last several weeks, the Chinese had started shifting their purchases of energy products from Iran to Russia, Saudi Arabia, and I believe Qatar. And, in fact, in the last 3 weeks, the largest amount of Chinese purchases of Saudi oil, probably in a year, were conducted because they knew this strike was coming on Iran and they'd be cut off. So the Chinese, like the Iranians, have been, and like the Russians, have been hardening their regime and their economy to maybe not prosper during this time, but certainly to survive. Mm. And survival for these regimes is key because then they can rebuild from there. And they know they can outlast the Americans because we have a very short attention span and clearly a short logistics tail.
Yeah. And so that's interesting. So because the latest I'd heard, or I was just using AI to research, and it was saying like 50% of China's oil resources. And that may have been a particular type of oil that they got
it
from Iran.
It might be talking generally about the Middle East because they get a lot of stuff from the Middle East. And I don't know what the combined percentage is. It's not just Iran. It's Saudi Arabia. It's Qatar. I think there's another Middle East country they get it from. But remember, I would say 70 to 80% of their oil comes from next door in Russia.
Right.
And, you know, that's a huge stopgap. And now that the Indians are no longer directly purchasing the extra Russian oil, because of America's pressure on India, well, the Russians are just transshipping that oil that was bound for India and they're just dumping it off in China. And the Chinese are very happy to have that. And
yes.
So, like the
Zero Hedge article hints, you know, this was one of the things people are speculating about, going, well, this may look bad, but it's hurting China the most, and this is all about going after China. But you're saying that China was pretty aware of this, and it's not really hurting them as much as it would be.
It probably is hurting them. I'm not going to say they're not being hurt, but I don't think this is the collapse.
Right.
So there is this collapse narrative that has really been kicking around for 25 years in Washington, D.C., and these sort of empty heads of the think tank crew. They've been consistently wrong. China's not going to collapse. They're the second largest economy GDP-wise. They're the first largest economy in purchasing power parity. They are integrated fully into the world economy in the ways that the Soviet Union never was during the Cold War. Furthermore, they are the world's sweatshop turned world's high-end workshop. So, you know, there is no future in which China collapses anytime soon. And if it did, it's going to take us down with it.
Yeah, well, it's also the world's medicine chest and, you know, glyphosate producers. So, I mean, it's...
And we get a lot of our arms, by the way. The Raytheon CEO during the Biden administration said it's insane to pick a fight with a country like China because 67% of our supply chain comes out of China.
Oh, the blessings of globalism, defense. Brandon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Yeah. So here's two quick excerpts that just fulfill everything you're talking about. For Max Blumenthal, he posted the Washington Post saying the mood inside the Pentagon is, quote, intense and paranoid. Pentagon leaders worry the U.S. will expend its air stockpiles and the conflict will, quote, spiral out of control. This is precisely what Pentagon Joint Chief Chair Dan Kane warned of last week, as you talked about. And then there's this CSIS munitions expert Seth Jones says the reality is neither Israel nor the United States have sufficient munitions, either offensive or defensive, for a war that really lasts weeks into months. So, I mean, again, I don't think the leaders of America
that it's
don't
okay
know
to
this,
say
right?
this. Yeah, they must have gotten word because Seth Jones and those guys used to mock me when I would write about this. So all these official mouthpieces must. I saw Stavridis, Admiral Stavridis was saying this morning in the Wall Street, or I think it was New York Post or New York Times or something. So obviously the word has gone out from the deep state. Hey, let everybody know it's a crisis because they're going to use this to stab the knife in Trump's back and take him down like they've always wanted to. So he's really fallen in to the worst possible trap imaginable politically, legally, and strategically so far.
Man, you know, I hate to just constantly, talk about
it. Don't call me Dr. Doom for nothing.
Well, I just, it sounds accurate and it's like, I cannot help but think of this like the King Theoden situation in Lord of the Rings. Like, I know it's like cheesy, but I mean, but that's how I feel. Is it's like, I don't hate Trump, but the dude is not there.
Right.
There's something else.
Tolkien is never cheesy, by the way. He's always relevant. So
ask
my daughters. I drive them crazy with this. So.
But I mean, but you know, just in thinking about what Trump is doing right now, I can't believe that he's just going off and just like, ah, screw it. We're going to waste all of our munitions and who cares if I get impeached? Like, I don't think he's that way, but he's clearly being fed misinformation.
Well, Trump also has a very, Trump has like a 1950s view of America. And, somebody who knew him in the 80s, I'm close with, he's an old timer, but, you know, he explained to me that, you know, from Trump's perspective, you know, he was paying attention to things in the 50s and then, you know, in the 60s, and then he goes into the professional world and his whole world is not politics. It's not military. So for him, what he knows about the military and sort of American power and strength was forged in his teenage years, really, when he was a military academy student at that military academy in upstate New York. Right. And then he comes out of making all this money for 40 plus years and being famous and doing God knows what on the Epstein Island or with the Epstein, whatever. But he comes out of it, and to him, that America is still the America that it's just kind of being mismanaged. And this is his story in 2016. But now he still maintains that sort of 1950s, 1960s view of American military power. And that power has faded, after many years of mismanagement by the Democrats and by the neoconservatives on the right. And he hasn't quite figured that out. You know, he said it a lot in 2016, but I don't think he ever fully internalized what his criticism meant and how you have to then, if you believe those criticisms, how you have to react. And so he still thinks, yeah, we'll drain the stockpiles, but we can get them back up. And right. It's like, no, we can't get them back up. In fact, we've been trying to get them back up since 2022. Thank you, Mr. Zelensky. Yeah. And we, the best we've been able to do is build a few hundred, Tomahawk cruise missiles when we really need hundreds and hundreds and hundreds more.
Yeah, I think you're right, and it's such a shame. And it seems like he's willing to believe people that will feed him that line of, oh, we're America, we'll just do it, just trust me, give me control, and I'll just get it done. He's like, yeah, hell yeah, we'll just do that, which is extremely dangerous. In the final minute here, we've talked a little bit about China, but overall, bird's eye view, are they going to come out hurt from this or doing better? Do you think?
Well, they're gonna in the near term, yeah, it's gonna hurt them, but just like the purges last month of those high-end military leaders, it's not gonna take down the regime. The regime is hardening. The regime is preparing for what I think is going to be a world war. And the regime is hunkering down. And these are the processes you see of a hunkering down regime. Doesn't mean they're going to be as rich and as prosperous as they were the last 10 or 15 years. Probably not. But the idiots in Washington who always get it wrong and yet always get promoted are going to use those as signals to say, yeah, China's collapsing and we're on the ascendancy. I wish that were the case. I truly do. China's not going anywhere anytime soon. They are preparing for a very significant geopolitical event. And I think that geopolitical event in the form of a world war is coming very, very soon. Not a golden age, a world war.
Yeah. Well, in hell, if I was China, I would just look at America and go, we don't have to do anything. Let's just chill for 20 years and then we'll be on top just as a.
By 2050, they will be the number one power. There's no doubt in my mind at this point. And by 2075, if things keep going at it, we'll be the number three power behind India and China.
And maybe Israel, once they become the hegemonical power. Unbelievable. Brandon Weikert, incredible stuff. Thank you so much. Follow him at WeTheBrandon.
Thank you, sir.
Incredible.
And Emerald.tv.
We're engaged in world-changing information here. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at theoliveshowstore.com. And we have a massive sale. Alert, alert, alert. I'm saying this live on air Thursday, February 26th. And that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies and our high-quality Shilajit. Get either or. You choose absolutely free with our creatine. The Alex Jones Store. patriotapparel.com. We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, with the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Everybody is debating this as, are you for the mullahs or are you for regime change? You have to look at all of this in the history of it and the neocons in 9/11 saying they were going to regime change seven countries and use 9/11 as the pretext.
Right after 9/11, about 10 days after 9/11, I went through the Pentagon and I saw Secretary Rumsfeld and Deputy Secretary Wolfowitz. I went downstairs just to say hello to some of the people on the joint staff who had used to work for me. And one of the generals called me in. He said, sir, you gotta come in. You gotta come in and talk to me a second. I said, well, you're too busy. He said, no. He says, we've made the decision. We're going to war with Iraq. This was on or about the 20th of September. I said, we're going to war with Iraq. Why? He said, I don't know. He reached over on his desk. He picked up a piece of paper and he said, I just got this down from upstairs, meaning the Secretary of Defense's office today. And he said, this is a memo that describes how we're going to take out seven countries in 5 years, starting with Iraq and then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and finishing off Iran. I said, is it classified? He said, yes, sir. I said, well, don't show it to me. Were we to get out early? We'd be intensifying the threat against us of a super powerful Sunni extremist group, which was now legitimated by overt Saudi funding in an effort to hang on to a toehold inside Iraq and block Iranian expansionism.
And it wasn't just Wesley Clark releasing classified info. They said the Project for New American Century a year before 9/11 that they needed a big attack to be able to do this. And so I don't like the mullahs. I don't like their dictatorship, but this is not America first. So I've got a lot of the, you know, folks out there that don't like Iran because they blew up the Marine base and all the rest of it and attacked Israel. I don't like the Iranian leadership either. Neither does their population. They're very unpopular. Even Eric Prince, he's looked at the different ethnic and religious groups there. There's a very good chance this is going to be a civil war. We can be sucked into a new Vietnam. And that's if we're successful getting rid of the mullahs. So it's a real roll of the dice. But no one can deny that this is an extremely bold move by Trump. And Trump said, you know, if they're going to get a nuke, I'm going to go in and stop them. Now, here's the big story. And I told you this at least 15 years ago, and then I talked to my other Pentagon sources, and they said, yeah, that's true, and you shouldn't know that. But they have cars, you know, vans, taxi cabs, you name it, that the West has in Iran that drive around that have sensors on them that scoop up the air, and then they send it back and have it tested. And 15, 16 years ago, they were driving around the enrichment centers, so they stick them out in the middle of nowhere trying to keep away from that, but they can also follow vehicles that are transporting it, and they picked up heavily enriched uranium from the centrifuges. So when you hear Israel saying for 20 years, you know, oh, they're 2 weeks from a nuke, that's because they have been. Now, just because that's true doesn't mean Israel has a right to strike them. We're going to attack North Korea because they have nukes? I want to be clear. Iran is trying to get a weapons program. They refuse the peaceful program and the free fuel to build power reactors. They don't need reactors. They are full of oil and gas.
So it is true that they've been pursuing a nuclear program. I don't believe you have a right to attack them just because of that. Can Iran attack Israel because they've got nukes? Now, here's the headline, and this is officially on the Iranian news channels. Iran needs only 1 week to conduct a nuclear test, says member of Iranian Security Committee, their Security Council, and a high-level member of Parliament. There's a bunch of statements by the council. We can have a bomb in 1 hour. We can have a bomb in 1 day. We can have a nuclear test within 1 week. And Iran could test a nuke and show everybody. And, you know, we've had Witkoff saying this earlier in the week. And the bigger deal is they have the delivery systems now with their medium-range ballistic missiles. Now, when I state those facts, people go, oh, my God, you agree with Israeli propaganda. Not everything Israel says is a lie. Now Iran says they're 1 week away from being able to test one. And I predict it because that's the obvious move to say, hey, we got nukes. So, we're engaged in world-changing information here. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at thealexshowstore.com. And we have a massive sale. Alert, alert, alert. I'm saying this live on air Thursday, February 26th. And that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible highest quality concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies and our high quality Shilajit. Get either or, you choose, absolutely free with our creatine. The Alex Jones Store.
From the front lines of the information war, this is the War Room with Harrison Smith. Join the battle now on pan.video and X worldwide.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Final hour of the War Room. For today's broadcast, I'm going to open up the phone lines for your calls. The number to dial is 1-877-789-2539, 1-877-789-2539. Calls specifically, of course, about the Iranian conflict, where we think it'll go from here, and we'll go to those calls as soon as they start pouring in. You know, I haven't even talked about the fact that the video I made called The Eighth Front War has gone doubly viral, went viral again for the second time over the weekend, as a lot of people were tweeting it out, saying this is an important context to understand the Iran war and what the intentions really are. Remember, Iran is the seventh front. America is the eighth front of the Eighth Front War that Israel has been waging. How many views we got now? Scroll down just a touch there. 16.8 million views, had, I think, less than 9 on Friday. And everybody's pointing out that the likes keep going away. My own like keeps going away from it. They're very actively and aggressively suppressing this. And I just feel like they've lost. I feel like they've lost the Eighth Front War. They are losing the Eighth Front. We are literally beating them on the Eighth Front War. Meaning the propaganda war, the information front. We are winning, and winning handily, and it's entirely of their own making. And it's like weird. Laura Loomer keeps like tagging me and stuff, calling me a terrorist, and I just respond to her with a single word, and I keep ratioing her pretty effectively. I keep calling her a traitor, and everybody agrees with me and not whatever nonsense she was talking about. And I just feel like now's the time. I feel like it's time. I feel like it's sort of beyond time that we deal with this situation. I mean, with Epstein to what's going on with Iran, it's pretty clear where, like, most of our problems come from. And not just that, but, like, all of the other problems that we face on a daily basis, not only sort of tangentially or with a step or two removed also come from these same places, right? I mean, we wouldn't have a migrant crisis in Europe if it weren't for the wars in the Middle East that we're fighting for Israel, right? It's all like tied very much in together. And I know if you've been on X, you've seen at least one post recently that just shows the millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of missiles being fired from interceptors to protect Israel. And then it'll show like a picture of the town where the missile's made. And it's, you know, it's just some dilapidated, just rust belt old Alabama town. I mean, literally, it's like, yeah, the people who make this, it's, you know, each missile costs the equivalent of, you know, 10 years of their salary. And it's just the amount of money, the amount of resources. It's absurd. Yeah, look at this. Laura Loomer says the woke Reich is indistinguishable from ISIS, Hezbollah, and Hamas. Well, that's not true because ISIS works for Israel. ISIS is Israel. Don't call me Israel, lady. See, what I said is Israel must be destroyed. Israel must be destroyed. That's sort of a, that's a throwback. That's a reference. It's a meme. It's Carthage must be destroyed, right? No, Israel must be destroyed. And hey, what a weird coincidence. It's the same people. It's the baby sacrificing Moloch worshipers that Rome had to stomp into the dust and salt the earth so they never rose again. It's like maybe that's where we're at. Because the point is, there is nothing positive that's come out of the, there's a couple things. Yeah, and then, I'm not a traitor. I'm a proud American who's grateful for the U.S. Army and the IDF. The IDF are on the front lines of jihad every day as the first line of offense, and your own military confronts the Islamic barbarians. Those of us who are on the side of the blah, 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 and I'm just like, no, you're a traitor. And I'm winning the contest. Go like my post right now. So I win even harder. This is where the American people are. This is where we all are. If you support Israel, you're a traitor to America. And it's pretty much as simple as that. And I showed you the Michael Eisenberg thing. Go watch the Eighth Front War. They are trying to destroy America. They're trying to destroy America. They took over the Republican Party in order to take control of America with the intention of destroying both. Do you understand? Why is it that the American, or why is it that the Republican Party right now is just like in total shatters and total tatters and like, we're going to lose the midterms, just get absolutely walloped because nothing that we want is getting done. Why? Because of Israel. Because Donald Trump accepted the support of a bunch of leftist, never-Trumper, Israeli Jewish supremacists, and they've just taken complete control of his entire presidency. And it's intolerable. And like I said, I mean, Michael Eisenberg is like the best choice or the best, you know, person to look at. Or the guy who runs the Tikva Fund, right? In the Eighth Front, he's the one going, you know, there was a nice vacation from reality where America accepted Jews, but that's not happening anymore. Now it's time for you to choose your Jewishness over your Americanness. And so you're declaring war against us. Like, we get it. It's not confusing. And I think we just need to embrace that. I think we need to embrace that. Because what I don't understand is people get so up in arms about Iran or anybody else. It's like Israel's literally worse than all of them, even if you're only going from the perspective of America and the history of America and who has benefited us and who has harmed us. Israel has been nothing but a thorn in our side. And you can only imagine what the last 50 years of American history would look like if we hadn't had the first Iraq war and the second Iraq war and the Afghanistan war. And the, I mean, it just goes on and on. The migrant crisis, again, like I said. And then it's the fact that you've got CNN and others like literally being like, oh yeah, this is done on Purim. This was like a symbolic thing. It like has to do with the Jewish religion. It's just like, okay, that's intolerable. Okay. Well, we can't have that. We can't have a bunch of religious extremists starting wars on certain dates because they think it's going to make them lucky. Like, this is absurd. The 1991 Gulf War ended on Purim, while the 2003 Iraq war invasion began on Purim. This latest one has begun on Purim, which is the holiday, the Jewish holiday, where they celebrate the slaughter of a bunch of Persians in history. Persian being, of course, proto-Iranian. So, you know, I'm sick of this, and I think we need to just separate once and for all. And this would be a way that we could take what has been, up till now, a horrendous and embarrassing and evil and an illegal debacle, could be transmuted, transmogrified into a great revolution here in America, freeing ourselves from the pernicious influence of Israel. And maybe it's as simple as, like, look, this is either you, Marco Rubio, you, Donald Trump, or it was Israel. Now, if you tell us it was Israel and you want to get the Israeli influence out of the country because of the horrible mistake of the Iran war and just everything that you've done for the last year or so, then that's great. And that would be a fantastic outcome to this. But if you want to go down with the ship, then, you know, hold your breath. Like, I don't know what else to tell you. And this is how I put it. Israel must be defeated. Must. It's actually not up to us anymore. They have actually declared war on us. If you watch the Eighth Front War, if you hear Benjamin Netanyahu say, you know, Rome, the new America is the new Rome, and, you know, we're going to have to win this one. So I'm not expressing my own opinion. I'm not expressing my own desire. I'm not even expressing, like, something that is predicated on a strategy. It's strategically we have to go after this. It's like if a man kicks your front door down with a knife, you fight him. You know, at that point, it's like, okay, it's him or me. One of us is going to die and the other one's going to get killed. It's not about, like, strategy. It's not about, like, well, if I do this, then maybe this will happen. It's just like, nope, it's go time now. It's go time now because they've declared war, and either we win or they do. And winning in this instance is surviving. We either defeat them or we die. Like, that's where we're at this point. America as a nation, our people, the European people as well, I would add. We either defeat Israel or Israel is going to destroy us. They're the ones saying it, so take it up with them if you disagree. So I said Israel must be defeated. I say this with a heavy heart. I really had hoped they'd be convinced to change their ways, but it's clear now nothing short of complete destruction will stop them. I hold no ill will towards the people of Israel or the Jewish people as a whole, but it's become undeniable that they must be restrained for the sake of peace. America and Europe are dying, and for the sake of our own survival, we must prioritize our own people to the exclusion of all others. This is not a choice. And then I link the Patrick Henry speech, give me liberty or give me death, because he lays it out there, right? Peace, peace, you cry peace. There is no peace. The peace is gone. It's that war has been declared. It's here. It's not even coming. It's here. They're waging it in a variety of different ways, but all of them engineered to bring about our destruction. So we got to do something about this. We really do. I just want to make that abundantly clear. I'm not going to, like, moderate, you know, these statements anymore. I genuinely think the continuing existence of Israel is an existential threat to America and the wider Western world. And I know they have nuclear weapons. I know they have nuclear submarines, you know, lurking off the coast of our capital cities to carry out the plan, the Samson plan, to bomb us all to death if they ever start to go down. I think we could handle it, though. I think we could handle it. I mean, for me personally, if I was in charge, like, the minute you learn about the Samson Project, you should have been sending secret agents with everything you've got to try to infiltrate and shut that crap down. But it's too far at this point. It's too much, and everybody gets it. And if we can't unify on this and just go, nothing is going to get solved until we solve this problem. Nothing else. Absolutely nothing else is going to get solved. We keep creating more problems. We're going to have another migrant crisis because of this war that's going on. So, like, until we solve this problem, until we extricate and literally declare independence from the foreign state of Israel, we're just slaves. Like, it really is as simple as that. It's not complicated. It's not bigoted. It's not anti-Semitic. It's just factual recitation of reality. So that's my position. We'll go to your calls now. I mean, I got more videos to go. I'll go to a longer video on the other side. I'll go to your phone calls here in just a second. Let's go first to clip number 25. Because again, I think this represents another difference between this current conflict and any conflict we've had before. The UK has come out and said, we're not getting involved in this. Now, this may have changed because I think the speech was before Cyprus got bombed. But here's the Prime Minister of the UK, Keir Starmer, basically saying Israel and America are on their own on this one. Let's watch.
Clear, the use of British bases is limited to the agreed defensive purposes. We are not joining the US and Israeli offensive strikes. The basis for our decision is the collective self-defence of long-standing friends and allies and protecting British lives. It is in accordance with international law, and we've produced a summary of our legal advice, which clearly sets this out. We will keep the decision under review.
So again, pretty different than the last time, than the coalition of the willing. Let's go to your calls now. Sean in Nebraska. Go ahead, Sean, you're on the air.
Hello, Harrison. How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing all right. Go ahead.
I have a couple questions for Mr. Trump. I know, Mr. Trump, you're listening. My first question is, when will Barron Trump be signed up for boot camp so he can send his ass over to Iran to fight your war?
There you go. Great question. We know Benjamin Netanyahu's son is hanging out in Miami, Florida. I think I actually heard that Barron Trump is literally too tall to join the army. He might get out because you can't have a bunch of 8-foot tall Nephilim running around giving a big target to your enemy. So he may be able to avoid conscription there.
Very true. My second question is, when's the Trump administration, specifically you, Mr. Trump, who I voted for 3 times, going to remove Netanyahu's penis from your mouth and quit licking his balls? We need American balls licked, not Jewish balls licked. My father went to Vietnam. He was drafted when he was 17 years old. Before he died when I was 15, made me promise him I would not join the military when he found out about the Gulf of Tonkin. He died 3 months later after he found out about that when I was 15. I'll be damned if I send my 18-year-old son to any more of your goddamn wars.
Amen. Amen, Sean. I mean, on that note, like, what is going on? Why is he Netanyahu's bitch? Because, I mean, he's tweeted out stuff of Jeffrey Sachs calling Benjamin Netanyahu a corrupt bastard. Like, Benjamin Netanyahu and Trump, I really don't think they're friends at the end of the day. Like, if you'd asked either one of them in 2024 if they're a friend, they hated each other. So, like, why is he such a sycophant? Is it just blackmail? Do you think that's the Occam's razor here?
It's got to be a gay thing at this point. I mean, I don't know what else to think anymore. I just don't know what's going on. Harrison, I'm serious. I don't know what's going on anymore. It blows my mind. But if they're not going to go after any of these people for the Epstein files, then we just need to close the prisons. What's the point? Can you imagine sitting in jail right now? You're like 10 years, selling weed, and you're like, are you serious? Yeah. They're not going after these people. I'm sitting in prison. You might as well just get rid of the prisons, get rid of the courts, because that's what they're showing us. You can eat babies, drink blood, whatever, torture children. Hey, but hey, you're making money, right? It's so good. You're making money.
It really is sick. Hey, the Dow's up over 50,000, so of course it's not anymore, and, we'll see where that goes from here. Thank you, Sean. I totally agree with you. Could not agree with you more. I do want to get to more calls. Tony in Texas on line 7 asks a question we may have just answered. Go ahead, Tony. You're on the air.
Well, first of all, you know how Trump goes out and claims he's the president of peace and all these wars that he stopped? And then as soon as he says that, he turns around and he starts the mother of all wars, the possible world-ending war. Yeah. You know, I'm wondering now, Harrison, if he might just be going down in history as the village idiot.
At the best, man. I mean, I don't know. Village idiots don't usually destroy the world.
Well, I understand that. Oh, by the way, his wife sounds like a vampire. But
I like his wife.
Oh, Oh, yeah, sexy vampire. I want to drink your blood. But, yeah, and, you know, he's doing the total opposite of what we put him in office for. He was supposed to do mass deportations. Well, that ain't happening, and it's not going to happen. Basically, he threw the white flag in Minnesota and just gave the state to the communists there.
Yeah, yeah, you know, isn't that interesting? There's a statement today where Trump says, I don't know if I have the headline, but he says, you know, screw the polling. This isn't about polls. This is about doing what's right. I know the polls look bad, but we're sticking to it, and we're going to do this, you know, all the way to the end. And it's like, okay, well, you gave up Minnesota because the polls looked kind of bad 1 week, and you completely surrendered there. So I guess when it comes to deportations, you know, the mainstream media can lie about it enough to get people against it that he just goes, oh, never mind, I give up. But when it comes to World War III, suddenly the polls don't matter anymore? Absurd.
And another thing, he claims the border's locked down and we have an open border policy in Mexico. They come and go all they want. Trucks, trains, planes, automobiles, buses, people, cars. Yep. They're flooding across the border. It ain't shut down. That's a lie. And another thing, what happened to all these deep state arrests? Wasn't he supposed to go after the deep state, drain the swamp, make some arrests, and all Cash Patel and Bondi's done is nothing.
Nothing. Whole bunch of nothing. No, you're exactly right. And, you know, again, it would be one thing if it's like, hey, he's trying and they're putting up a fight, you know, he's indicting them, but they're getting away with it. Like if there was a back and forth, but no, nobody's been arrested, period. They haven't even tried. And that's basically it. We've gotten absolutely nothing. And here we are about to, you know, send troops into Iran. It's absolutely infuriating. And inexplicable as far as I'm concerned. Thank you so much for the call, Tony, as always. Let's go to Evan in California now. You want to talk about Iran and the real powers that be. Whoever could that be, Evan? You're on the air.
Hey, Harrison. It's nice to talk to you again. Hey, are you aware of Gary Wayne? He wrote a book, Gen 6, just two different volumes, where he documents that the 17 controlling families of the Earth have about $220 trillion, and it really makes, you know, just laughable, really, what we're dealing with. It's funny how Epstein living in the Vatican for 2 years is now no longer the hot topic. Charlie Kirk being assassinated is no longer the hot topic. And we're essentially dealing with families that are unnamed, about 16, 17 of them. It matters who they talk about, but the Illuminati. But they're controlling families. They're the Rothschilds and stuff. And none of this stuff matters until Delta Force goes after these 17 families. Mm-hmm. All of this is just a shit show, and it's really none of it is important in my opinion. And Alex tomorrow is going to have Nick the Simp, the Vatican Gimp, on, and just want to point out that Nick doesn't really mind that the Catholic Church was working with Epstein, doesn't mind that the church is famous for molesting kids, and essentially he's now going to go be a Democrat. I think he's a psyop. Probably paid by either, you know, the Pope or the FBI. If you look at the Catholic Church, it's like Jesus dying on the cross and raising from the dead. That's not enough. You need intermediary pedophiles to now establish a relationship with Christ. So about a third of the people in the United States are Catholics. They've watched as the Catholic Church moved in about 11 million, you know, immigrants, or they're not immigrants, they're invaders. And the Catholic Church did that. The Vatican is the most damaging thing, and I'll say that the Vatican is more damaging to America than Israel is, because I believe it's the Vatican that is really running everything. And you notice that Epstein living at the Vatican isn't even a big deal. They're eating children. They're doing hybridizations of aliens and children, which is going to come out next with all the UFO stuff.
Yeah, that, I was thinking about that too, where the UFO thing is on here. I mean, look.
Well, you know,
we're about to go to commercial break, so sorry to cut you off. I just think, I mean, I don't want to downplay the power of the Vatican, because obviously they're extremely powerful, and we are not a Catholic country, despite, you know, a lot of people that wish we were. We wouldn't be who we are if we were a Catholic country. No, we're Protestant. We have Protestant work ethic, Protestant individuality, Protestant hard-headedness when it comes to listening to people in robes. We don't really do that type of thing. So, no, the character of America is not Catholic, and it shouldn't be. There's good reason why it isn't. That being said, until we're waging, you know, a war against Florence for the Papal States, I'm going to say Israel is doing more damage to us than the Vatican, but that's just me. But they're, you know, they're all tied in it together, and there's good and bad in all these factions. More phone calls from you on the other side. Don't go anywhere, folks. Stay with us.
Alert, alert, alert. We're engaged in world-changing information here. The worldwide satanic pedophile networks, the poison shots, depopulation, the classified CIA documents about poisoning the food and water and medicines to make us dumb and more docile and controllable and to make us sick and die. Operation Artichoke fully declassified this week. Total vindication of this broadcast. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at thealexjonesstore.com. And we have a massive sale, and that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies. Each gummy is equivalent to like 40 grams or something of Irish Sea Moss. It's so good for you. A bunch of other super nutrients. And our high quality Shilajit. You get either or. You choose. Absolutely free. That's a $35 value. Absolutely free with our creatine. There's also store-wide 25% off all apparel. That ends midnight Wednesday, March 4th. But let me just overhead shot show TV viewers a couple of things right here. KU Medical Center. Creatine shows potential to boost cognition in Alzheimer's patients. Just type in creatine Alzheimer's. Creatine and cognition and aging, a systematic review of evidence in older adults, a major study. HHS Public Access. Effects of creatine supplementation on cognitive function of healthy individuals, a systematic review of randomized controlled trials. And it's not just good for your brain, it's good for your heart, your muscles, everything. Everybody always thinks of it for muscles, but it's every organ, folks, and you gotta get the right kind of creatine. We have the best. Here's BBC telling the truth. The bodybuilding supplement that boosts brain power. I mean, my God, I was taking creatine in high school. I could bench press 350 pounds, weighed 180 pounds, squatting 600. My strength just exploded once I got on creatine. But what's it do for your brain? Want bigger gains in your brain? Six facts about creatine and brain health. Get your creatine already discounted. Get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss and or Shilajit until Monday, March 2nd at midnight, and it funds the operation. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Plus, 25% off all apparel, t-shirts, hats, and hoodies ends midnight, Wednesday, March 4th. Take advantage of that. We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, I want the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. I want just Americana stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff. Classic InfoWars gear. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. I gave the concept great guys over there and gals. All up in Arkansas, where Big League's based. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. It's got a cool deal on the right-hand shoulder. And there's just, it's over 700 shirts now. That's the only problem, is that you find a shirt, you get it, you like it, you want to buy another one. Takes me like, if you don't remember the name of the shirt, it takes you like an hour to find it. But that's a good problem to have.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just checking the updates. It looks like the pounding on both sides continues. I mean, war these days is just so utterly bizarre. It's literally just bases launching missiles at each other. It is like straight up Battleship, where it's like we're playing Battleship or something. It's just very weird that we've like witnessed all out war for 2 years and like you never see an infantryman. Nothing but missiles flying through the air. It's very, very bizarre. I want to go to a video now of sort of what how this might end, just playing this out. Clip 28, his name is Aydin Simardone, and I thought this was a pretty fair interpretation, analysis of what's going on and where this could go. Let's watch.
This is exactly how the war with Iran is going to come to an end. This war is not going to end with occupation. You're not going to see the U.S. military marching through the streets of Tehran. This is a war of attrition, which means the goal of both the United States and Iran is to wear down the other side until it is no longer able to keep on fighting. And this is a war that Iran is not going to lose. The reason for this is you have to understand that the Iranian military is a system of cells. Yes, it's a unified military, but even if the Iranian military central command was completely eliminated, the military is divided into separate units that can keep on fighting even as that central command no longer exists. Now, what is the U.S. military good at? Well, the United States military is very effective at carrying out airstrikes in occupying parts of countries, at least initially. In 1965, the United States was able to enter Vietnam, and in 2003, it was able to take over all of Iraq in less than a month. But America is absolutely terrible at wars of attrition. For instance, look at Vietnam, where tens of thousands of U.S. soldiers were being killed over nearly a decade. Same thing in Iraq and in Afghanistan. The United States was involved there for almost two full decades. And of course, that actually ended up with the Taliban taking over the country and winning the war. But most importantly, you have to also understand that the Americans, that America is actually not a big fan of seeing their own soldiers being killed. Americans don't really care about the other people that they affect, but they do not like seeing their own soldiers coming back to the country in body bags. And this is yet what we're already seeing in this war with Iran. Today, when I'm filming this video, three Americans have already been killed. And as the United States runs out of interceptors to stop Iranian missiles, you're going to see more and more U.S. soldiers being killed and the pressure on ending the war increasing. Now, this pressure works not because, you know, politicians care or anything like that, but what they do worry about is that a foreign war could lead to radical opposition within their own country. In Vietnam, the fear was actually genuinely that there are now radicals such as the Black Panther parties and other groups that were increasingly seeking out more revolutionary actions because of partly, yes, domestic issues, but also because of unpopular wars abroad. And that is exactly how this war in Iran will come to an end. It's not going to come with the defeat of Iran. Rather, it's going to become because there are going to be more and more U.S. soldiers that are being eliminated, and then the war will have to come to an end because of the risk of serious domestic opposition. So keep the pressure up domestically, I'd say, if you're American. And if you like this video, please like, share, and comment. I want to hear your thoughts. Thank you.
Yeah, I think he's got a pretty good grasp of the situation. Now we're going to go out to your calls once again. The messaging continues to be completely schizophrenic and nonsensical. And it seems like they're already planning to throw each other under the bus, all the people at the top of the American government. Regardless, I'll say that I don't know how you can, if you're a online a lot and, you know, paying attention to who supports what, there's some very clear factions, especially on X. And, you know, InfoWars doesn't really fit into any of them. And it's frustrating because we're always being accused by one faction of actually being a part of another faction. When the reality is that we tend to just be like right most of the time and the other people are not actually directed by right or wrong. They're directed by financial concerns. They're directed by, I don't know, shadowy forces that instruct them what to do, or just, you know, their access is dependent on them being supportive of the Trump administration. I just hope for the discerning news watcher out there, I hope it's clear how unique InfoWars is. And we're so unique, it literally confuses everybody. Which is why I brought up the image of like the King Theoden, where it's like, we still love Trump. There's like, you still love King Theoden, even when he's under Wormtongue's spell. You go, we got to wake this guy up. We got to slap him out of this. We need to get rid of the people pouring poison into his ear. But it's actually pretty simple. We want what's best for America. We recognize the various maligned forces that are all attempting in their own way to subvert or distract or in some other way destroy us. And we're arrayed against all of them. But firmly and resolutely and with the conviction of knowing that we're exactly right. And I've never regretted not supporting a Middle Eastern war. I've never regretted, you know, calling it out. And to be fair, we have not put boots on the ground yet, and that was always my red line, but I'd say we've crossed the red line. And I think Trump, either because he got fooled or because he's in on it, has made an absolutely terrible mistake here. And I just am trying to hold out hope that this could be a wake-up call of some sort. I mean, he has sort of, in a way, like gotten away with so much stuff over the last year because of the people surrounding him, because of the mainstream media helping him out actually quite a bit. He's been insulated from the effects his policies are actually having. This may be big enough to break through. And I do think it's up to all of us to make sure that our reaction is big enough that it breaks through. And I hope you can support us in this mission by going to thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com is the only way that you can support us, the only support that we get right now. You're getting 25% off all t-shirts, hats, and hoodies. And this may be one of your last chances to get one of these, folks. So certainly get something, anything with the InfoWars branded logo if things proceed as they're supposed to. This will be some of the last chances you have to get this stuff. And of course, you're going to want to get all the supplements. However you do it, go to thealexjonesstore.com. Buy one, get one supplements right now. You get free CMOS gummies or Shilajit gummies when you buy Ultimate Creatine Powder. So the Ultimate Creatine Powder is well worth it if that's all you are getting. But now you're getting a free bottle of Shilajit gummies or the Irish CMOS gummies. I'm not sure I could pick between those. I kind of like them. I kind of like them both equally. But please do go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. And with that, we go back out to your phone calls. We've got Alex in Virginia. Go ahead, Alex.
Shalom, my black Hebrew Israelite brother.
Shalom, my friend. How are you, sir?
How's going? Hey, everything is cool. You know, so real quick. So Iran. What if it's unavoidable? What if there's nothing that you can do about it? That it has to happen. Let's say Trump has a looking glass and he's able to see how events are going to lay out. And there's all roads go through Iran because of the backing that Iran has had from the London banking. Trump has waged war on the Rothschilds. As long as everybody understands that, and he's trying to cripple the London banking system so that it releases not only Iran and frees Iran, it would free up. And what will Israel do now? Remember, Israel said that Turkey is the new Iran. Mm-hmm. Am I right or wrong?
Yep.
So right. It's obvious Israel's going to keep trying to move on and on and on. It's just we have to. This is war has been written in the Vedas, has been written in the Talmud, has been written in the Bible, yep. Has been written in the Quran. War has happened all throughout humanity. And it's absolutely unavoidable. My kids are grown, but I have grandchildren. You understand? Mm-hmm. And I worry about them. But I would much rather this happen so that it brings us closer to freeing ourselves. Because people right now that are panicking don't understand how much under mental slavery they are. Mm. They're locked up. They're mentally locked up. Dude, war. It's got to happen. I'm sorry. Bodies are going to hit the floor on both sides. It has to happen, though, because there's no way away from it. Now, how about this? This is a funny one. What if eventually it'll bring such a public outcry that the United States, the public will demand that the United States no longer be an ally to Israel?
That's kind of what I was hinting about in the last segment, that whether intended or not, that seems to be, I mean, when you have Marco Rubio going, hey, Israel was attacking, and so, you know, we didn't have a choice. I mean, that seems like they're throwing Israel under the bus a little bit. I mean, do you think, I can't believe that that's intentional, but it is kind of an odd silver lining that's starting to appear.
Hey, it's the butterfly effect. What is Trump doing? It's the butterfly effect. You understand? This is what's happening. He keeps creating these things, and then it's like the answer that we expect out of nowhere starts reverberating back. So if this gets us away from Israel, if this gets that clown with ICC warrants that happens to love to frequent the United States, if it pulls Trump enough to say, you know what, I've had enough, we got to lock this guy up. Because Netanyahu is not the all end all be all. He's not the president of Israel. So he can be locked up.
Right.
We just have to see how this – we got to see how this works. Also, Harrison, please, real quick, the Democrats here in Virginia decided to give themselves a 278% pay raise.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I know.
Yay, Hamburger!
Virginia is getting it bad, man. Since you mentioned it, I do have this story. Virginia Governor Spanberger faces blowback after releasing illegal immigrant who stabbed woman to death. Yet another woman, innocent woman in Virginia, killed by a man who had more than 30 arrests. I believe this woman was just standing at a bus stop when this repeat criminal, 30 arrests in his life, comes up and kills her. So, yeah, I feel for y'all in Virginia. Alex, thank you so much for the call. As always, absolutely fantastic stuff. And I'm sorry to see that you are now under the control of CIA operative Abigail Spanberger. But just following on that call, and I do want to go to some other videos. Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton have had the clips from their deposition released, and there are some pretty crazy ones. I don't know, guys, do we have the one where Hillary Clinton is asked about frazzle drip? That's the pizza. All right, we got to go to that. So we're going to go to Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton here in just a second. But this is following up with Alex's comments. This is from Asuka_Arian on X. Israel will bleed the U.S. dry of resources in order to secure Israeli hegemony in the Middle East and in order to prepare for the next stage of a larger plan. Israel will, at some point, no longer require the U.S. military for support. And when that happens, Israel/the Jews will use the Democratic Party to finish off the demographic death of the U.S. via open borders and mass migration. The U.S. economy will collapse to a new low. The presence of enormous hordes of unproductive third world people and possibly a civil war will do this. At that point, Israel will become the global hegemonic power they already are by proxy, but this will become absolute and more obvious. Israel will use this hegemonic power to flood white nations with random assorted non-white people until whites face total physical extermination, as is already happening in South Africa. And this was, attached to the video of Benjamin Netanyahu saying, you know, the Jews versus Rome, we lost the last one, we'll have to win the next one. And, you know, that's true. Like, whether you like it or not, look at the trajectory things are going now, and that's the inevitable outcome. Look at the trajectory of Europe. If it doesn't change, it's going away. Look at the trajectory of Israel. It's growing, expanding, becoming more aggressive while simultaneously weakening America. America can't get our crap together. We are crumbling. We are falling apart. Like, there are, you know, multiple avenues that you could talk about, but every one of them, we are just headed right off the cliff. Bring back Thelma and Louise. Like, we are headed towards destruction. The only thing that we need to do now is change that trajectory. And to change that trajectory, you can't just hope it changes. You can't just argue that it should change. You have to actually intervene and change that trajectory. We, as a people, have to stop the way things are going and make them go the other direction. In order to do that, you have to enunciate it. You have to describe what you want to do, and then you have to do it. Okay? So what I want to do is expel everyone with dual citizenship out of the United States government, force AIPAC to register under FARA, force anybody that has any communications with Israel to report themselves as a foreign agent. And again, these are things that we have always advocated for. And I know everybody's sort of waking up to the reality of Israel now, but it doesn't change the way that you combat this stuff. You combat it by going after the functions, the policies, the organizations that are carrying out the destruction, and you destroy them, or you weaken and disenfranchise them. And we have to do this. It's, again, not a question of preference. It's a question of certainty. We have to do this. We have to get rid of AIPAC. We have to get rid of the Israeli control of America. And we have to do it explicitly because they're Israeli, because they keep getting us into these wars, because they are openly, outspokenly at war with us. So I don't know what else we're supposed to take from this, but when we have these people who are not even pretending that they're working in America's interest anymore and just out in the open predicate all of their arguments on what is best for Israel, we have to just adopt and act like we understand what's really going on here, which is Israel is not America. And anybody who's putting Israel over America is by definition a traitor. If they're American, if they call themselves American, they are a traitor. They are a turncoat, a quisling, a spy that has to be dealt with. Now, I got to go to some of these clips. Let's go to Hillary Clinton here. This was her yesterday in her deposition, or last week during her deposition. It was finally released. Here she is being asked about Pizzagate and Frazzle Drip, of all things. Let's watch.
Are you aware of any files that were on Anthony Weiner's laptop in a folder that was titled insurance, life insurance, with a zip file titled Frazzle?
Pause it. We got to back up. Whoa. Okay. For those of you that don't know, see if I can get this right. Basically, a like NYPD guy supposedly found this laptop with this insurance file, and like, I mean, you could look it up. I mean, you shouldn't like turn on your safe search on Google and search Frazzle Drip. It's a crazy story. It's like everybody who saw this laptop is dead. Some of it is leaked. It is straight up the most disgusting stuff ever. And they know, and they jump, they don't even let her finish the word. That is crazy. And it's one of these things that it's like, for years, if you even wrote the word Frazzle Drip, your account would be deleted on things like Twitter. So let's go back. I'm going to start this over. That was wild. So she is about to talk about Frazzle Drip, and all of Hillary Clinton's lawyers jump in immediately. It would have looked a little better if you'd not freaked out like that. It should have been like, Frazzle Drip, we never even heard of that. You should have played it a little cooler. That was wild. Let's go back. Listen how they freak out when they realize what's being asked.
Are you aware of any files that were on Anthony Weiner's laptop in a folder that was titled insurance, life insurance, with a zip file titled Frazzle?
Is this within the scope? Mr. Chairman?
If the chairman rules that it's not within the scope,
Based on what you said in the public hearing, is this within the scope?
We can go off the record for a moment.
Mr. Chairman, is this within the scope?
We
want to
go off the record for a moment. Whoa. And then they go off the record. That's wild. That's more confirmation than we'd ever gotten before. That's crazy. So that's right. Anthony Weiner. It was the Anthony Weiner laptop. But it had been around before that. I feel like it had been around before that. But he certainly had a file called life insurance. In other words, blackmail, right? In other words, if I go down, I'm taking them with me. And here's the evidence. And basically Frazzle Drip is, it's, I mean, there's some crazy stuff. I'm not even going to tell you what they are. I mean, let's just say If you've ever seen Texas Chainsaw Massacre, if you've ever seen a horror movie where one person wears another person's skin as a mask, and I'll just leave it there. So you can look it up on your own, but just know that this has been one of the most consistent, persistent, and hidden rumors, like really censored things in all of Pizzagate. And we just saw Hillary Clinton's lawyers freak out at the mere mention of it, and then they immediately go off the record. That was wild, folks. Do we have any more with Hillary, or should we go to Bill? All right, let's go to the – I thought we just did the Pizzagate one. Oh, that's the fizzle. All right, let's go to the Pizzagate one.
In past public statements, as in 2017 speeches and interviews, you described Pizzagate as a baseless conspiracy theory, alleging you and others ran a child sex trafficking ring from a Washington pizzeria basement. Have you reviewed any 2025-2026 Epstein files that were released that you believe reference or relate to those specific 2016 claims regarding the Podesta emails, Comet Ping Pong, pizza used as code possibly?
I'm sorry.
She's reviewed emails in the Epstein files which relate to the wacky Pizzagate scam.
You could characterize it however you want. I just would like to know if she's familiar with any of them.
So
she's
excuse commenting. Me. Your question is about whether or not she has reviewed any emails in the Epstein release files about Pizzagate.
Correct.
Pizzagate was totally made up. It was an outrageous allegation that ended up hurting a number of people, that caused a deranged young man to show up with his assault rifle and shoot up a local pizzeria.
Yeah, it was real. Yeah, I'm just going to come out and say Pizzagate was absolutely real. I'm going to go ahead and cut her off right there and let you know Pizzagate was real, and it was all real. I don't really care what else she has to say. Remember, Pizzagate only exists because still to this day, nobody's managed to explain the emails between the DNC and John Podesta and the pizza code words, the pizza related map, the mysterious pictures of basements in pizza places that later didn't exist or something. That was hilarious. Do we have time to go to Bill Clinton? Let's go to Bill Clinton here.
Have you ever had contact with an individual by the name of Shante Davies?
I believe Shante was, that's a distinctive name. So I think that was the name of one of his flight attendants.
Okay. She's been described on being on a 2002 Africa trip and providing massages. Was she or any other young female on that trip underage at that time?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Did you ever receive a massage or have physical contact from her or anyone else on that trip?
You've seen the pictures. There was one time when I was sitting up and I got a back rub, a neck rub.
Okay.
And I think Shante did it, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead and admit to the one where we have the picture of it. Good call. It's a good move. Because you don't want to deny that when we have the picture of it. And it'd be kind of coincidental, wouldn't it, if that was the only time it happened. It's the one time we got a picture of it. What a liar. What a ridiculous liar. Apparently, he also confirmed twice under oath that he had absolutely no knowledge of Trump having anything to do with it. So, once again, the people in the Epstein files clear Trump's name. Folks, we'll be back tomorrow with more. Hopefully, we'll get some clarity between now and then, but we'll see. Every day's an adventure in the info war. We'll see you tomorrow.
We're engaged in world-changing information here. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at thealexshowstore.com. And we have a massive sale. Alert, alert, alert. I'm saying this live on air Thursday, February 26th. And that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies and our high-quality Shilajit. Get either or. You choose, absolutely free with our creatine. TheAlexJonesStore.com. We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, with the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.